Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Yes, that's right. We said it. Did you say it with us? You can. You are free to do so.
You should.
Because it's the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. And that's what we do. Whenever we're back, we say it. We let you know.
In the best way possible.
We came up with a way to inform you so that there's no question as to whether or not we are back.
And it's such a perfect resumption or beginning of the show that we choose not to do it on any other episode.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Only it's specific to Sundays. It is a Sunday night exclusive here on Free Talk Live. Let's see. Captain's Log, Stardate 03242024. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me tonight,
Nikki.
And Richie Rich. I feel like the way you inhale, next time you should like take a hit and then do it while you're exhaling.
Hey, man.
Right.
It's Free Talk Live, man.
And then just end it with LLC.
The problem is I won't have anything left to do at the end of it. Like the official title is far too lengthy to they teach you like how to like breathe with your diaphragm so that you don't expel all of your air like when singing and stuff like that. I've never taken like actual singing lessons. It's just what I've divined from singers that I've worked with and troubles they were having, and so I picked up some things here and there, but like, that being said, I'm still not on that level. Like, I can't do that. I can't do like a 30-second note hold.
Yep. Sing right? From your belly.
Yeah, sing from the diaphragm.
I had a friend who was a Reformed Jehovah's Witness.
Ooh.
And I swear.
So he's just a witness?
Yeah. I swear he could like inhale while he was talking, and therefore he never shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like I'd see him at the door. We did door-to-door sales together. And he just would not let the customer get a word in edgewise. Just like, you got to take, as soon as you pause, take a breath, like that's their opportunity. And they never had one because he just kept going. And somehow while saying words, inhaled in so he could say more words before they had that chance.
I just had a business idea.
Okay.
Door-to-door sales of doors.
They do that.
I've never seen a door-to-door salesman selling doors. I've seen a lot of door-to-door salesmen selling all sorts of crap.
You can't bring samples with you, that's why.
You could have one in the trunk.
Okay.
Strapped to the hood of your car or something.
I know a garage door saleswoman, but I don't think it was door-to-door, so I guess that wouldn't.
That's like they telemarket, set an appointment, and then she goes and shows up. Yeah.
That's what I do.
I know.
Well, I work for a company that does that.
Sure, yeah. It's a common way to do that kind of business.
It's still effective, getting less effective by the day, but still effective.
Yeah, because they, well, anyway.
Because the government.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Short answer.
Yeah, it's so easy these days to go trace everything back to, oh, look, it's the government's fault.
They keep passing rules and regulations, make it more difficult.
Yeah, if you got your, if you have a landline and you were able to get that on the no-call list, this government list. You actually receive more.
I don't doubt
any calls. So I'm told. I'm not citing any data points here, but like I've been told that has happened.
I still think. I mean, it's expensive, so I haven't done it yet. But as crypto goes up in value, I go, maybe I'll cash out some and do this. Set yourself up with a 900 number.
Oh yeah.
And then put that on all the forms. That way, when they call you to solicit, they're paying you for the call.
Ooh.
That's a good idea.
And there was a dude in England, like, I had this idea. I'd shared it with a few people.
Dude,
then I saw an article.
Still exist?
Yeah.
Ah.
But there was a dude in England that did it. You know?
Oh.
And he was just, I don't know how much he made, but, you know, you don't put yourself on the do not call list. You put yourself on the please call me list, right? Because that dialer is going to dial a 900 number, and then they're going to get the bill, and you're going to get paid.
I haven't even heard of a 900 number. The last time I can remember hearing of one was...
Porn.
The psychic hotline.
Oh, yeah, Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, call now.
Same idea. Right?
I already know you're going to call. I'm psychic.
But we looked it up. It's like $800 to set up the number.
Yeah.
And so it's a flat rate, $800 to set up the number.
Yeah.
And
is there an annual fee to keep it alive?
I mean, I'm probably, but there's an annual fee for your phone bill anyway, right? So it's like nothing new there.
Yeah.
But you get to pick. Like, you can do, you know, 99 cents a minute or up to like $40 a minute or $40 flat rate.
Max that thing out.
Max that thing out no matter how long the call is.
Yeah.
Because they're going to leave a quick call and boom, you're like $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's more ideas to be had around this idea.
Just do it.
You know, I mean, like,
the dude in England did it.
Yeah.
I don't have $800 to like flush down the toilet to set it up. Like, nor am I spammed daily by calls, right? Like, my phone is whitelisted, contacts only. Everything else goes to voicemail. I don't get a lot of calls anyway.
Yeah,
because I don't share my number around town.
Yeah.
But so I don't experience it enough where like I need to do this.
Yeah.
But if you're getting a lot of those calls, right, just change your number to a 900 number.
I just get regular scammers.
Yeah. Well, imagine if they had to pay though now.
Yeah.
Right. If you're getting them frequently enough where it's annoying you. And then you change your number to a 900 number and fish that around to every place. Like, every place you sign up, put that number in there because they'll sell it. They'll share it, right? And then you just receive all the calls. It goes to voicemail. Who cares?
But yeah. $40 My new thing is just doing zeros.
Okay.
For the phone number.
That doesn't make any
Occasionally
money.
Occasionally the...
Yeah, it's true. Like, it's like not very lucrative.
If you're entering it on like a web form, occasionally those forms will recognize that as invalid number.
Yeah.
As well as the 555. I used to do that, you know, the... Area code 555 and then make up the last four numbers. Some of these systems are getting smart enough to recognize that as an invalid number as well, because those are reserved for the movies and the television shows, so that like you don't have to put real phone numbers in them. Segway, whiplash. Did you guys so previously on Free Talk Live? I've been a number of times critical of liberty-minded people who think that the liberty movement in New Hampshire is a great idea. They support it in many ways. Some of them even, you know, amplify the show, that kind of thing. But they won't move because of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The snow excuse is kind of lame.
Well, I've decided that this is actually a great barometer for your commitment to freedom.
Yeah.
For example, if... we, as a liberty movement, can't even count on you to battle regular winter. How can we ever count on you to battle tyrants?
Well, let me take a moment to walk back a little bit, because I listened to part of last night's show on my drive over here. And I believe it was you, Captain, that agreed with Mark Edge and said that there is space all over the world for the liberty movement.
There is. It's true. There's room for people to explore freedom in whatever way they want to. But I'm just saying as far as...
So pause there.
Okay.
Pause there. Because the fundamental premise of the Free State Project is there's not enough liberty people everywhere to make an impact anywhere unless we concentrate our efforts in one specific place. And then they chose New Hampshire.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a dichotomy. There's a dichotomy there.
Yes.
Like, you can have, and I've said this on this show before as well.
Or if you want to call me a hypocrite, that's fine.
No, I'm misled, misguided, misunderstood. Like, you know, there's some conflicting beliefs there.
Yeah.
But I've also said on this show before that we can call it an outpost, right?
Yes.
Like, you're not going to convince people necessarily to move from there to here if you're not there telling them that here is better. And so there are some people that can't move from there to here, and they should use their efforts to convince other people to move there to here.
Right. So it's circumstance dependent, right?
Right.
It totally is. But what I'm saying is, like, there's a vocal, probably minority of people who are like, I would totally move if it wasn't for winter. Right.
Yeah.
And these are the people that my ire had been directed at previously. I've now decided that I just don't care. Because if you're not willing to battle winter...
it's not even a battle. Buy a jacket.
Yeah. Buy a coat. Buy a shovel. It's you know, it's fine.
You know how unaffected by winter I generally am?
Yeah. And you're from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, I grew up in Wisconsin, so, like, winter's kind of an old hat. Now, I did move away from winter to the West Coast, and I was like, this is great. There's no winter here, right? I don't have to shovel. But, like, when it did become winter, a couple of weeks out of the year... Man, it was hellacious. Like, they don't use salt on the roads, and so the roads... Like, if you want to experience a truly dangerous winter, go do like the 1 week of winter in Seattle, Washington. That is a dangerous winter.
Well, that's also the problem they had in Texas.
Out here, not dangerous at all. We have the technology. Mm-hmm. We have the systems.
It's not even the best technology, but it still works.
Right. Like with plows, we got salt, right? The roads are clear. Yeah. Like we got well more than a foot of snow where I'm at. I don't know how much we got here, but like about the same. And like that night you were driving, it wasn't like, you know, in Seattle they get like 2 inches and the whole city shuts down overnight.
Like I'm in my apartment and I'm comfortable, and then I'm uncomfortable for like the minute it might take to walk to my car. And then I get in my car and I'm comfortable.
Right.
And then I drive to where I'm going in my comfortable car, and it might take me 5 to 10 more minutes to get there because the roads are a little bad and people forget how to drive on, you know, wet roads, even wet roads. Right. And then I get to where I'm going and it takes 30 seconds to a minute to go from my comfortable car to the comfortable building. And that's it.
Yeah.
Then you reverse the process and I'm home again.
That's exactly my philosophy on wearing shorts.
Okay.
Like I'm not quite a year round shorts guy. Right. What I'll do is I'll put on the long pants as soon as the snow is deep enough for me to, if I step in it, it's going to touch my skin.
Okay.
Right. On over my sock or whatever. Right. And, you know, I wear high tops. So like it's got to be a significantly deep snow for that to kick in. But once it does, then I'm like, okay, guess it's time to put on the long pants, and I'll continue wearing the long pants until the snow is gone.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm still wearing the long pants, but like this is likely, you know, we just had second winter here. So in a couple days when it all melts or whatever, probably go back to wearing the shorts. Yeah.
I've got a coworker that's basketball shorts year round.
Ooh.
Right.
But that's New England.
But in the winter. Yeah. In the winter, like I'll still have the thermostat set like 60, 63 because that's where I'm comfortable regardless. He's like, dude, it's kind of cold to him. Like, put some pants on, man. Like, figure it out.
The office, longer socks,
is a little cold.
So many people, you know? So many people don't even know, or they
read
do know,
the
but they don't. They don't act on it. Put a hat on.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So much heat goes out the top of your.
That's
head.
Where it escapes.
Like, just put a hat on, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's comfortable now. Wow, weird. You know, so.
And sometimes it's too hot.
Yeah,
like I've got the beanies, you know, during the wintertime. I'm like, man, I'm sweating here.
I like your 63 degree mark.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's actually exactly where I'm at too, 62, 63.
Yeah. Depending on how my systems are in the house, it might be higher. It might be closer to 65, but like, I like that as a sweet spot, particularly in the summertime. If I'm cranking my AC, I like to set it at 63 and make it work.
Yep.
You know, so yeah.
It's the sweet spot. It's money. It's just comfortable.
So move. Yeah,
stop being a wussy.
I will say I am not really a New Hampshire elitist. I guess
you're not even from here.
Well,
you
I think
too.
I was.
You're
so,
from the
so
state
technically,
of massive douches.
Yes. So technically, I did move to New Hampshire.
You did
not really for the Free State Project. I didn't really know that the Free
for
State
love.
Project was. Well, there was that.
Yeah, but as a
I was planning on moving to New Hampshire. Before I knew about the Free State Project, before I met any of the folks up here, before I met Matt, just because when you live in New England, this is the better place to live.
Yeah.
It's like you're probably, you know, if you're cool, probably going to move to either Vermont, Maine, or
New Hampshire,
somewhere in the northern New England.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you already had a bit of a a liberty lean to you.
Yeah, I was absolutely an anarchist.
Yeah. So, like, that makes sense, just even from a position of logic.
Yeah, right? Just like, more freedom here, you know,
no state tax, and, like, the only tax is property tax, and, like, you know, then the occasional meals tax, I guess.
I hate the meals tax.
I do, too. It's,
it's onerous.
Yeah.
8-point-something% just so I don't have to cook my own food.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
But it's,
where are you, state reps?
But that's, like, sales tax in L.A. County. I'm pretty sure that's up there.
I didn't move to LA County.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So hopefully over time, you know, these things can be reduced. But for all the same reasons, like if you love liberty, consider moving to New Hampshire. That's it.
And buy a jacket.
Some gloves. Maybe
you don't even need the gloves. I have a pair of gloves in like every jacket that I own for the most part.
Yeah.
So when I throw on a jacket, I know I've got gloves.
Yeah.
And I've worn them so infrequently. It's not.
I don't even know how long I've had this winter coat. I keep a winter coat like in my car.
Okay.
Right. And it's got a pair of gloves in it. Right.
Yep, smart.
And so like you're saying, when I leave my house, I'm wearing probably like today, I'm not wearing long sleeves. I'm wearing usually long sleeves. And then I'll put like a hoodie on over that and I'll be wearing like a beanie. Right.
That's a winter
style beanie. I'll leave the house, get into my car, drive to wherever I'm going, get out of the car, go into wherever I'm going. I don't actually ever need the winter coat. So the reason that I keep it in my car is on the off chance I get caught in a blizzard or I get run off the road.
Emergencies.
You know, I hit a deer and tumble down the ravine or some crap like that. You know?
I didn't even have the heat on my drive over here. I had like the AC going because it was hot, it was starting to get too warm.
Wow.
It was like 35, 38 coming over the highway. I'm like, man, I'm burning up because I had the beanie on. Right, and it's too warm.
38 degrees, you're burning up.
I have to let the cool air.
What's
the
sun? You know, when you're in the car and the sun's coming at you, it does.
It does.
It feels a lot warmer.
And the sun is right in that spot right now, where it's in my face the whole drive.
Rich E. Rich, aka the Iceman.
I'll take it. Cold hearted.
So this is a weird question. I'm going to ask both of you. Now you both know the subject of this story, but. What is one of your limbs worth? What would you be willing to accept?
Nothing.
As a price?
Nothing?
To
nothing.
Lose one of your limbs, a leg?
Your limb is worth nothing?
Well, no, I mean, I'm willing
I'll
to...
take
priceless.
Them all.
Oh, priceless okay. is all right. more the... Like, oh, you want it? Yeah, just take it. Sure.
Nikki's got a hacksaw with her. She's like, I'll just do it right now.
Yeah,
I'll
just
take
for
the
fun,
two
you
middle
know?
Fingers from your right hand.
If it gets us ratings, why not?
Yeah.
This
no,
guy.
I wouldn't trade any monetary amount for a limb. Like, not worth it to me. If I lost a limb, I would pay any price to get it back.
I met a guy when I first moved to Seattle. I was doing telemarketing when I first got there.
Okay.
Because it's a quick job that you can get, like, and most telemarketing jobs are part-time for the most part, unless you want it to be full-time, but they mostly start you out as part-time. Because if you suck, they're going to get rid of you quick. But if you're good, then they'll let you work whenever.
Yeah, you don't even want to be doing that full-time, though. That's,
no.
It's
like,
a chore.
Yeah, like 3 hours is about all the telemarketing I could handle back then. I can't handle any of it now.
I've got a few people that do 10 hours a day.
No, I could not do that. No.
Yeah.
But I picked up a telemarketing job, and I met this guy. Because sometimes telemarketers aren't the most scrupulous of people, right? Sometimes.
Fair, yes.
And at least back in the day, like we're talking 96, 98, somewhere in there. I met this guy who was working at the same place. And so we're outside having a smoke during our smoke break. And he starts talking to me about this. He's got this scam for like how to get insurance money out of your car insurance. And you basically stage a fender bender.
Okay.
Right? Like, both people are in on it, right? But whoever has the insurance is going to get the payout, but then, like, you split the winnings, if you will.
Or
between,
theft.
Between the two of you. Right. Yes. This sounds to me like fraud.
It is.
And so I declined his invitation, but when he explained it to me, it reminded me of this story, except this isn't a car. This is a human being.
With right? limbs.
With limbs. Yeah.
So, past tense.
And also, like... Just as a off-topic note, we do get quite a few articles for show prep, particularly on Sundays, from businessinsider.com.
Okay.
And, like, to me, it doesn't seem like this is a very, like, they don't live up to their name, basically. I expect Business Insider to be, like, stocks and bonds and trading and, you know, not, like, tabloid-esque headlines, but
right.
Whatever.
So, before you get into this one, pre-show,
okay,
we talked about the other limb article of the week that we did not put in the show prep.
Yes.
And that was the dude like chewing on a human leg.
Right. And
okay.
What was the summary on that one?
Lady got hit by a train, dismembered her, like, you know, cut her leg off. She later died, but some homeless dude or drugged out dude or whatever just strolled up on the scene, grabbed the leg, walked away, and there's video of him just gnawing on it like on the side of the curb. So if you do lose a limb, just make sure there's no homeless dudes nearby ready to pick it up.
You know, we don't know. Maybe he's keto or carnivore or something.
I just think he was from Haiti.
You think he was just hungry?
Haiti.
Oh. He hated you?
No, never mind. Are you not familiar what's going on in Haiti?
What's going on in Haiti?
The cannibals? Yeah, the cannibals.
The cannibal run? What? No.
Haiti's overrun by cannibals
right
now.
Yeah, this is big news.
Overrun?
The cannibals have taken over the Haitian government. There's a dude named Barbecue. I gave it to you last week.
Oh, I remember that headline.
Okay.
Yeah. The dude's name Barbecue?
How could you forget Barbecue?
So I run into, or have run into, so many colorful characters in my time. Okay. Almost nothing sticks in my brain.
But never a cannibal named Barbecue.
Never a cannibal named Barbecue.
That's, I mean, I don't know
the, who's like, the de facto president of Haiti at the moment.
That's
no
way. Yes. That's more than colorful. Like, I don't know if colorful is the word I would use.
If they were doing like
Can
an international,
pull something up
if they were doing
because...
an international summit, he's the one that they would invite to the White House to negotiate.
Barbecue the cannibal. That just sounds like what's his name? Bruce
Springsteen?
No.
Leroy?
The guy in Army of Darkness.
Oh,
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a Bruce Campbell like film. Yeah. Barbecue the cannibal, part 2 in 3D for the fourth time.
With the Netflix adaptation, it'll definitely be Bruce Campbell.
I don't know. I'm finding some sources saying it's fake news.
Oh, Snopes? Richie, well, then Rich, then Richie you, Rich likes Snopes.
If it's Snopes, then you can confirm it's probably real news.
PolitiFact.
You tried to combat something I posted with a Snopes refutation, pal.
Well, no, the refutation was in the article, because this was the lady who had like 14 dads with 15
kids. I'll have you know that I also saw that before putting it in show prep, but I put it in there anyway.
But I wasn't trying to refute it. You've pulled up like an 8-year-old article, I wanted to see how many more kids she had, if there was an update, and when I Googled her name, everything was a refutation. I went, I wonder if Captain knows about this.
I did, but I just thought it was a compelling enough headline.
It was compelling, but at 8 years old, I wanted an update, and there wasn't one. Unfortunately.
Barbecue the cannibal. What do you got, Nikki?
So this is from PolitiFact. I'm trying to get to the part where they're disproving it, though.
They're not.
Oh, they're just saying there is zero evidence. But that's not really convincing enough for me, you know?
Okay.
No. He's overrun. I mean, you could go to the show prep group and find the article that I sent last week. It's probably got updates in there.
We'll take a look.
I mean, also, it did say, like, it is true that the previous prime minister or president or whatever was overthrown.
Yes.
And this new guy is in power.
Barbecue.
So.
Barbecue's in power. Barbecue the cannibal is the de facto president of Haiti. If you know more.
603-283-6160. Yeah, if you know more about Barbecue the Cannibal, or if you are Barbecue the Cannibal, give us a call. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up, including why this guy amputated his legs.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
I guess I could have faded that in better, but yes, it is Free Talk Meow.
Meow?
Hey, Meow Talk Live? No, Free Meow Live? No, it's Free Talk Live.
Meow, we're back.
Oh, we didn't do that.
And we're back.
Lame.
And we're cats?
Meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Welcome back. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. I see at least one caller on hold, if not two. We'll get to you momentarily. Before we go on, though, in the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at Spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. All right. We're going to go to a caller, but I want you folks thinking about how much money would it take for you to get a limb amputated. It could be like
you already got my
foot,
answer.
A leg. Right, I'm talking to the listeners now.
Oh, okay.
I realize
depends on the limb.
Okay. Well, we'll mull that over for a little while. But first, let's go over here to Crichton in Kentucky. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I didn't call for this reason, but I actually do know a little bit about Johnny Barbecue.
The cannibal?
He is not, in fact, a cannibal. He is aligned with cannibals. Johnny Barbecue is a childhood nickname for this man who actually is a former police officer and decorated one at that. But after he was kicked out of the police, he formed this I guess you could call it a gang. It was more like a security force called G9. And over time, he aligned with the other gangs. It's basically a civil war going on. It's not really fair to claim that Johnny Barbecue is himself a cannibal. But
So real quick, the little blurb from the article that we previously had said he is known as Barbecue for burning people alive.
That is not true.
Okay.
He is known for Johnny Barbecue as a childhood nickname.
And his name's Jimmy.
His mother, Jimmy Barbecue, yes, Jimmy Barbecue, because his mother earned money as a street vendor who barbecued food.
So how is he aligned with cannibals?
Well, like I said, there are other gang members, there are other gangs in the area, in the area of Port-au-Prince that he's operating. And he basically allied himself and has G9 with these other gangs and convinced them to all work together. When the president, the acting president, because he was never elected, he was actually appointed by a council of ambassadors that were dominated by the United States. He has never been elected, and he's been there for 3 years, I think. He flew to Kenya to recruit Kenyan police officers to come to Haiti to put these guys down. But Kenyan police officers are known for being basically brutal paramilitary units. So on his way back, they decided to act first, and they conquered the airport and prevented him from landing. He actually landed in New York. So this was a coup, and apparently pretty well organized by this Jimmy Barbecue. That nickname is not because he's brutal. He is brutal, but that's not how he got the nickname.
Okay. This article also says he was sacked from the Haitian police force in 2018 because of his role in slum murders and rapes.
That is highly debatable.
Okay.
I mean, again, he was still a police officer, and he was a high-ranking one.
Okay.
So we're not
participated in a slaughter of slums where 71 people were killed, 7 women raped, and 400 homes were burned down.
Again, not going to contest that.
Okay.
Again, he's not a great guy. I'm not saying that.
Making sure we're not trying to paint him as some great revolutionary who just happens to be aligned with cannibals.
He comes over to Crichton's place for beers and a joint every now and again, you know.
Not saying that. I'm trying to put a little balance.
They play a little Call of Duty together. Maybe some Grand Theft Auto. I don't know.
But anyway, that's not why I called.
Why did you call tonight, Crichton?
The actual reason I called is because I was on hold last night. I was trying to respond to David last night. And I couldn't let it go. I had to call in.
Okay.
I haven't gotten that far in last night's show, so fill me in on what David said before you respond.
David from New Mexico or somebody else?
David in San Francisco. We were talking about currencies and the history of.
Okay.
And David does have historical fact right? Within his arguments, he just, whenever somebody calls him out on something or gets him pigeonholed, he changes the subject instead of addressing the item at hand. So, at any rate, go ahead, Craig.
They had a lot of things wrong, but specifically, I had to mention that he claimed that the U.S. dollar had a lot to do with the American Revolution. Well, the fact is, the U.S. dollar did not exist before the Coinage Act of 1792.
Right.
So we went for 16 years without a U.S. dollar. And during this time, and prior to the Revolutionary War, the dollar was actually a mispronunciation of a thaler. A thaler was a minted silver coin from the Germans.
Thought it was Spain. Go on.
Maybe I got the area wrong. But it was a particular mine named after the owner. But the thaler, what made the thaler special was that it was a very precise minting. It was a precise weight of silver. As opposed to such as the Spanish doubloon, which was a general size, but they considered its value, Spain did.
Well, we talked about this several months ago as well, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the Coinage Act of 1792 denominates the U.S. dollar in grains of silver, and it's like 341 grains or something to that effect. Don't quote me,
yes,
but you can look it up. So the U.S. dollar is defined in that act in terms of grains of silver. Go on.
But my point is, before this act and before even the Revolutionary War, a dollar or a thaler in the in the colonies was referred to a particular weight of silver. It wasn't a currency unto itself. It didn't exist. So his speculation that that the Tea Party event in the Revolutionary War was related to currency issues is entirely false. But he's not wrong in the sense that he claimed that the Tea Party was triggered not by a tax on tea, but by trade issues, and it was. And the big trade issue that affected these particular people the most was the prohibition of states trading with each other directly. They weren't allowed to trade directly without the consent of London.
Mm. And they were going to charge him for the tea as it sat on the boats in the harbor. And so they threw the tea over the boats into the harbor.
The problem was is that every transaction, every trade event had to involve Great Britain itself. And that was really what they were protesting there. But yeah, I just couldn't let that go. It bothered me so much.
Okay. There was also the continental dollar, right, that got hyperinflated out of existence.
Yeah, Mark mentioned that at some point in the conversation last night as well. Well, Crichton,
forgive me.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Crichton, I just didn't want to, you know, cover stuff from last night twice. Crichton, thank you. I have a question before we let you go, though. How much would you accept in U.S. dollars to amputate, say, a leg?
To amputate a leg?
Yeah.
In dollars, I wouldn't accept at all. But if you got
ounces of silver,
yeah. Like, what is your price? Like, if somebody said, I will make you wealthy beyond your wildest dreams if you cut off your leg, what price would that be?
It would have to be high.
Okay. How high?
I can't actually give you a number. But
$1.3 million.
It would have to be enough money in
silver.
Not only could I live for the rest of my life without working, neither would my wife or my children.
So
it would have to be a true fortune.
Would it be like, I don't know, would $23 million be enough?
Probably not.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you.
So one quick thing before you move on.
Yeah.
From the same article about barbecue, it is barbecue's claim that he got his nickname from his mom selling fried chicken. Nobody else believes him.
Huh. But then wouldn't... Wouldn't his name not be Barbecue? It'd be Fry or something?
Don't know.
Jimmy Fry?
Don't care. Okay. Like, I'm not going to speculate, but that's, you know, so he goes like, no, 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 it's not because I burned people alive. It's because my mom earned barbecue stand when I was a child.
Yeah, he's like,
and they go, those okay, videos go, whatever you say, saw. Barbecue.
But is he denying that he burned people alive, or is he just like sort of setting the record straight on the nickname?
I think he's setting the record straight on the nickname.
Allegedly, there's video evidence.
It was his mother's occupation of selling fried chicken that earned him the barbecue moniker, though not many believe this version.
I mean, fried chicken is not barbecue, so I don't understand like how...
Then it's probably not true, his claim.
Although some barbecue places do offer fried chicken.
It's probably that he burned people alive.
Yeah.
You believe whatever story you want.
Yeah. I mean, that is barbecue, isn't it?
What, fried chicken?
Or no, burning people alive.
It makes more sense than your mom selling fried chicken. Like, if that's the case, then her name would have been barbecue.
Yeah, I mean,
he should have came up with a better story.
If you reduce it to the ridiculous, any meat on fire technically is barbecue.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you deep fry chicken, is it on fire, though?
No.
No, okay.
No. No.
So it's not even barbecue.
Right. So...
Haitian fried chicken.
All right, so we know Nikki's answer is zero.
Yep. No, it's priceless. It's the exact opposite of the spectrum.
Okay.
I'll do it for free. Just for fun, you know.
What is yours? What? How much, like, would you accept some life-changing sum of money to amputate a limb?
It depends on the limb. Like, my left leg is already bad.
Okay.
So
you might as well just get rid of it. You know?
So I don't do a lot of running or hiking or exercise to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say at least $1 billion, but okay. I would give up my left leg for $1 billion.
You would? For $1 billion?
Yeah, from the knee down.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Only the knee down.
What, is that not sufficient for you, Nikki? You want the whole hip?
That's a limb. I mean, I don't know. We don't know, we haven't gotten into
It hurts from the knee down already.
Okay, so that's the part, like, just get rid of it. Yeah.
But, like, if you leave the knee intact, you have room for the prosthetic to be, you know,
right.
And still have the bend in the knee so he could walk and all those things, even with a prosthetic or even a robotic.
I typically keep a cane in my car for long walks anyway. It's miserable.
And
right, so I'd give it up.
If you had $1 billion, you might eventually be able to afford like a robotic leg.
I would probably get one of those cool running, prosthetics.
With the bouncy shock absorber looking thing.
Right.
I don't know what they're called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But whatever it is, I'm not very mobile to begin with.
Yeah.
So for $1 billion and I don't even have to go to work. I can just wake up and, play video games all day.
Yeah.
And not worry about, like, the pain that already exists in my leg.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Man.
Wait, what about, an arm or a hand?
No, because I play video games.
Okay.
Yeah.
And other things.
Yeah. I need both of my arms and hands to play guitar. I need my voice to, so can't chop off the head. A leg, though, I don't know. That could be complicated. I also, I don't necessarily have problems with my legs. I have a bad back, that kind of
a
thing.
It's not a limb, though.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't... Man, I'd have to...
Maybe $1 million, you can take my ear, right?
$1 billion, I'd have to think about it.
Really?
I'd have to consider it for $1 billion.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. Well, what would you... Again, you get to choose, so you don't have to lose an arm for $1 billion. It's like, oh, I can never play music again.
A leg, right?
Okay,
I'm going leg specifically, below the knee like you.
Sure.
Right? $1 billion, I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
Right?
$1 billion is not good enough for you?
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that, I'd have to sleep on that for a couple of days.
So my perspective on it is I don't...
I'd immediately put
it
all into Bitcoin or crypto or something.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I would not leave it in dollars.
So currency is, up for debate. But once you get past a certain amount of money, to me, my brain, if you're here's $100 million or here's $1 billion, that is so much money in my brain, I wouldn't know what to do with all of that.
Yeah.
Well, like Crichton said, you got to keep your family. And, for $1 billion, my family is set.
Yeah,
for
so there's
time.
That. I mean, that. There absolutely
generational
is.
Wealth is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the price for me
for a
anyway.
Leg
for a leg, right?
That doesn't work all that well to begin with.
Yeah. And so that way, I don't have kids, but I've got nieces, nephews, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So It would be great to be in a position, like if I die, to leave them something, you know what I mean, to make their lives better, that kind of a thing.
And whatever you keep in fiat, just live off the interest.
Right.
And then you're set.
Right. So certainly, I'd have to consider it. My gut reaction is, no, I don't think I would.
Okay.
Right? But $1 billion on the table, I got to think about this for at least 24 hours.
I mean, if someone went, we can't do $1 billion, but we could do $500 million.
Yeah.
Right. There's not going to be a long negotiation here either.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could do exactly what I need with $500 million, too.
So this from Business Insider. A student persuaded by his friend to get his legs amputated for $1.3 million
that's
in insurance.
That's both legs.
Both legs. Yeah, legs, plural.
Yeah.
For $1.3 million in an insurance scam, wound up getting only $7,200. And he now has to return that, say prosecutors.
Poor kids. What's it like being the friend? Like, I thought it would work, bro.
Honestly,
I'm sorry.
I think I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
Rimshot.
And say that the friend was probably not a good friend and maybe not even a very good person.
He probably said, we'll split the money. You get $1.3 million, dude. I'll just take
the
$0.3 million.
It's my idea. So, I'm kind of thinking of me like your manager.
Right, yeah. All I got to do is get 10 friends to cut off their legs, and I'm set.
A university student in Taiwan who had his legs amputated in hopes of receiving $1.3 million in insurance payout has been arrested on suspicion of fraud, local prosecutors say.
Dang.
The 23-year-old, 23. Like, I'm 51, so, like, I lose a leg. I had most of my life with you know, two good legs. So,
young.
I could sort of justify it later on if I'm regretting my decision. But at 23, man, wow. 23-year-old identified only by his last name, Zhang, plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for more than 10 hours to get them so badly frostbitten that he would need a double amputation.
That's hardcore.
We used to get dry ice to go camping, man. I wasn't even allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah. I used to subscribe to ButcherBox.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they send you, you know, frozen meat. It's all supposed to be like non-GMO and no growth hormone, you know, grass fed, you know, all that kind of crap. All the good
stuff.
Free
bacon for a year.
All that good stuff. Yeah. And, you know, you get the box, and it's a super insulated box. They do a great job with their packaging, but then it's topped with dry ice. And so, of course, the bags are, if this bag is open, do not touch, right? You know, put into a sink or something, you know, blah, blah. And they give you directions on how to deal with it or whatever. But I would always take the leftover dry ice, put it in the sink, and then run the water because, like, I'd fog up my kitchen just for fun. You know,
such a child.
Yeah. It reminds me of the old fog machine.
Turns
on,
stage on the disco
when I would,
light.
You know, playing the heavy metal shows, right? Turn on the fog machine and, you know, sort of smoke yourselves out, if you will.
Oh, man. My mom and my stepdad have a fog machine. I came home from school once and they just hit it as I walked through the door. It was so cool.
Oh, man. I wish I could remember the dude's name. The guy I got the fog machine from, I worked with at the time. And he found out I was in a band, and he's like, dude, I tried to, like, play bass in, like, high school, and I sucked at it, and we had a crappy band, and, you know, he's like, but I have this fog machine, and I want to give it to you.
Nice.
And as a musician, I'm always accepting free gear, right?
Yeah. You know?
Like, if nothing more, I could turn around and sell it and get something that I did want or whatever, right? But he brings me, I thought it was just going to be a regular black box with the little handle slash mount on it. You could put it up on the rack of lights and all that stuff.
Yep.
But no, this thing has a skull on the front of it with red eyes that light up as it spews smoke out. And so
this is your Halloween decoration fog
machine.
This
was our year-round fog machine, but it made especially good for Halloween. It was also great for when we opened for the Misfits.
As
you know, also have skull decorations. We also brought, not only did we have Foggy, the machine, we called him Foggy. the light
did
up
you give
eyes
him a hat
or whatever.
Called a fog hat?
No. Fog hat's not metal.
Whatever.
But so we would set up Foggy like near the drum kit. And then on either side of the front of the stage, we had these two giant styrofoam skulls that also had red eyes that lit up. They just took a little, like a AA battery in the bottom of it or whatever. And it would literally only last for like maybe 2 hours. So, like, one show and done. You had to change the batteries right before the show in order for it to work appropriately. But Jerry Only himself, we were dragging in these skulls and Foggy, the skull fog machine. And, you know, he's doing sound check, and we're loading our stuff in, and there's a pause. The sound guy's like, give me a couple of minutes. And so Jerry's just standing there on stage. And I go, hey, Jerry, check it out. And I hold up the big skull, and he goes, yeah, I seen that when you guys were loading in. I kind of got an eye for this type of thing. Because, you know, the Misfits have been around for 30 freaking years or more.
Nice.
So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, this guy. 23-year-old Zhang.
10 hours in dry ice.
Plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for 10 hours.
Can you plunge into dry ice? Like, what else was in there?
Water, maybe? I don't know. So he was so badly frostbitten that he would need a double amputation, said the Taiwan Criminal Investigation Bureau.
They didn't even fake it. They didn't like, oh, we went on a hike in the snow and left his legs out of the tent. Like, makeup, they got caught sticking in a bucket. Of course he's going to get busted for fraud.
The Bureau said a friend of Zhang's from high school, identified as only Liao, persuaded him to carry out the insurance scam. Ah, the old friend from high school convincing you to carry out some sort of fraudulent activity. Yes.
I don't get a lot of those calls, but when I do, it's an MLM.
Yeah.
Liao, also 23, suffered losses from trading cryptocurrency.
Oh.
And he tricked Zhang into signing a legal note obligating him to pay about $800,000.
What?
Investigators said.
On what grounds?
The local media outlet Taiwan News reported that Liao told Zhang that gangsters were pursuing him.
This is not even a friend.
Yeah.
I know, that doesn't sound like his problem.
This is like classmate. Well,
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Hope you don't die.
On January 26, 2023, Liao and Zhang rode around Taipei on a motorbike at night, wanting to present the claim that Zhang was afflicted with frostbite while riding the vehicle late in the evening, investigators said. So
he
put his legs into the dry ice to get the frostbite. Then they tried to present as, oh, he'd been riding around without shorts or without pants on or something.
That wouldn't give you frostbite that bad. Get the frostbite. That was pretty dumb. They should have researched this a little bit more.
I'm saying hiking in the snow.
Yeah, hiking. Yeah, well, Mount Everest or something.
Not only are these guys
something that actually gives you frostbite.
Not only are these guys not very creative, they sound kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Based on what
we've
read so
far. They
do
sound
dumb. You know, like.
Lesson learned.
Just days before, Zhang bought several expensive policies for life insurance. That's not a red flag.
Yeah.
You got to wait. Give it some time, too, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, days before.
You need to write a book, How to Commit Insurance Fraud.
One that, you know what they say?
What we learn from other morons.
You're more likely to be caught, like, by the insurance company than the police.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the insurance company, like, they're going to do everything they can to not pay you out.
That's their whole business model.
603-283-6160. Would you soak a limb in dry ice so that it had to be amputated in order to collect some insurance money? More Free Talk Live coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
for 40 months.
603-283-6160 or 603-283-6160.
I prefer that.
That is the digits for the domestic terrorist hotline here at Free Talk Live.
Especially when you used to alpha dial, right? Yeah. If you say O, and it's like, oh, but there's no O.
M-N-O, which is that a three? Okay, yeah. I don't know what it is. But it is Free Talk Live in the studio. It's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
We've been talking about this article from the Business Insider about a man in Taiwan who
failed to commit insurance fraud. Poorly. Poor attempt.
Convinced by his high school buddy that it would be a good idea to soak his legs in dry ice and then make up some story about riding around on a motorcycle with no pants on.
How cold is it in Taiwan?
And he got frostbite. He got frostbite, and they had to amputate both of his legs. And just days before, this guy bought several expensive policies, including life insurance, travel insurance, and accident insurance, prosecutors said. After their motorbike ride, Zhang soaked his feet in dry ice and was admitted to a hospital, investigators say. But the medical staff sensed something was amiss while assessing him, the bureau said.
Wasn't even the insurance company, it's the medical staff.
His legs bore no shoe or sock marks, and his injuries appeared symmetrical, which were inconsistent with a naturally occurring frostbite injury, investigators said. Nikki, you're our health expert. Is that John?
I don't really know much about frostbite.
Yeah, me neither. But like, it sounds like symmetrical frostbite isn't a naturally occurring thing.
How come his friend wouldn't have also gotten frostbite if they expected both of them to be wearing shoes and socks while riding around on the motorbike?
Yeah,
in Taiwan. And who rides a motorbike in the snow?
And dude, check this out.
Like, at least here they put it away.
The weather on the night of January 26 when they rode around was also nowhere close to below freezing, with its coldest temperature at about 42 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I don't think it gets that cold in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So, even if it does, you're not going to be able to ride around on a motorbike in that weather.
I mean, that's serious to get frostbite.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be outside in the snow in sub-freezing conditions.
Walking uphill both ways to school.
Yeah.
With no shoes on.
With no shoes on, yeah.
Symmetrically.
There's more about this to talk about, but we have...
I told you to pull one foot out every 5 minutes.
We have a caller I want to go to. This is Gigi from South Carolina.
The whole gang is there. Miss Nikki, Richie Rich, and my secret passion... Good evening,
it's
everyone.
It's not a secret, Gigi. We all know.
I know. The whole country knows now, even my husband.
Yeah, but I bet you these guys in Taiwan don't know.
And would they give up
I'm inclined to agree with Nikki. I don't ever recall it getting so cold in Taiwan. So I'm a little perplexed at this story.
I mean, depends on where you go. I don't know
well,
the region.
It looks pretty close. I looked it up because I didn't know exactly like what
the elevation.
Yeah.
There's a snowboard club in Hawaii, right? Because there's a mountain range where it gets cold and snowy.
So I guess that's true. It's pretty close to the equator. You know,
okay.
It's like,
well, in my opinion, if he did do what his idiot friend said, he's even more stupid.
It sounds like these guys were not the sharpest tools in the shed. As far as that goes.
Two sandwiches short of a picnic.
That's a very specific
number.
Okay,
here is why I am calling everybody. I wanted to pick up where we left off last night regarding what I thought was a very interesting question you posed to me, Captain, regarding the Department of Justice's offer for Julian Assange to agree to, and I'm quoting you, mishandling classified information, end of quotes. Well, as luck would have it, last night I was listening to the BBC, and who other than Lawrence Tribe, infamous constitutional law professor from Harvard, made comments about that exactly, as well as Mr. Edward Snowden, hiding out in Russia.
Yep.
And according to our illustrious law professor, and I will be paraphrasing, not quoting him,
sure,
he feels that if, in fact, he did sign such an agreement that both he and his attorney, now I will be quoting Mr. Tribe, would be grossly misinformed, end quote. And Mr. Tribe went on to say that if he is in fact a journalist, why isn't he being accorded, as you said, Captain, freedom of speech, but in parentheses and highlighted, freedom of the press?
Yeah. Well,
at no time was Mr. Assange ever employed as a civilian or military personnel, part or full-time, for any element of the Department of Defense or the Department of State, and that he should be accorded freedom of the press. And then he went on to say that Mr. Snowden, who was in fact working full-time for the NSA in Richie's homeland from when he was a kid in Hawaii, was simply a whistleblower exposing the illegal activities that the NSA was perpetrating against American people on their landline and cell phones.
Mm-hmm. So
how do you like that?
Two things real quick. It should also be reiterated, if it hasn't already been. Julian Assange is not an American citizen.
That is correct.
Right.
He's not from here.
Not from here. To my knowledge, never lived here.
Never lived here.
Has he ever set foot here?
I don't know that answer, but okay. Presumably not, and did not break a law here.
Right.
And isn't being prosecuted in his home country for breaking
That's
any of
a
their
good
laws.
Point, right. Richard.
So the United States has like zero jurisdiction on any of this. Like, axiomatically.
Right. That's the biggest problem that I have, too, is that, like, okay, here we have the United States government persecuting a man they have no business persecuting because they have no jurisdiction to persecute
Zero.
Him.
Zero. Yeah. And
well,
and for Edward Snowden, as a whistleblower, there's a
Professor
reason.
Tribe
hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Senator
I'm going to keep, talking over you until you shut up, Gigi.
Gigi, hang
McCain,
on.
Gigi. A Vietnam veteran.
Thank right. you.
Go ahead, Richie.
For the Edward Snowden thing, the reason he like tried to get the whistleblower protection,
yep,
but the reason he's in Russia is because they won't extradite him back, right? Like,
yep,
he had to flee to avoid prosecution,
right?
Because they're going to prosecute him if he comes back,
right?
So
you
he's not
Mr.
getting
Snowden?
Whistleblower protection.
Yeah, so
yes, Mr.
Yeah.
Snowden. But Julian Assange is currently awaiting the verdict of the British appellate courts, and he is in a British prison.
Mm-hmm.
He was apprehended when he stepped outside the parameters of the Embassy of Ecuador in London.
He didn't even step outside the parameters. Ecuador revoked his, immunity passage, whatever. And then they went in and got him.
Okay. I heard differently. I heard that he was standing outside the front doors and apprehended.
Yeah. No, he would not have been dumb enough to step outside the front doors.
I am going to agree with that.
The president of Ecuador, like, switched hands.
Yep.
And the new president removed his agreement, like, yep, revoked his agreement, and they got him.
Yeah, so I have no fact, but my gut tells me that military people in the Ecuadorian embassy were ordered to pick Mr. Assange up and
set him outside the doors.
Outside the doors.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to follow that. That wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore.
You don't hide in the embassy for 7 years without stepping foot outside.
Right.
Knowing that they're watching you. There's a documentary. Like, he knows that they're watching you.
And then one day you're feeling a little cocky.
Oh, yeah. I'm put my toe over the line, and then he just chart. No, not a chance. Yeah. Not a chance.
Yeah. And the thing about Assange, too, I know we're talking about, like, sort of two different people here and two different events that, are kind of similar in some ways. But with Assange, too, the founder of WikiLeaks, to my knowledge, everything that they have published has never been refuted as false.
Right. They've never issued a retraction.
It was all true.
100%. Yeah. So everything that Assange and WikiLeaks did was 100% true.
Right. So even if he released classified documents.
Well, the journalist from the BBC was interviewing Professor Tribe. Professor Tribe actually said something to that effect.
Right. So, but even if he released classified documents to the United States, right, they're classified in the United States. If it gets into foreign hands, the United States has lost control of that classification.
Well, Senator McCain, God rest his soul, was
exposing
the violations of torture and human rights against people being held at Guantanamo and at Abu Ghraib prison. And here was a man who understood torture from being a Vietnam veteran, and he said, this is wrong.
Okay. Fine. But either way, right, classified information gets leaked to a foreign press.
Yeah.
Julian Assange publishes it. Under his laws, no problem, right? He can't get extradited here because there's no jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It was de facto declassified once it got leaked.
Right.
So why aren't you in law school, Richard?
You want to pay for it? I was told I would make a great jailhouse attorney.
You would.
I got to go to jail first.
I'm saying jailhouse. I'm just saying law school. You're bright.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
It's mostly the yellow shirt that he's wearing, though.
Don't be fooled.
So the short answer is upon spending the money and graduating law school, to earn that money back, I would be compelled to swear my allegiance to the state, and I don't want to do that.
No, you would be compelled to take an oath and uphold it to defend all of your clients aggressively.
Okay.
All right.
Unless you choose to work for the state. If you go into private practice, you defend your clients.
Is that the whole oath when you joined the bar?
185%.
That's the whole oath when you joined the bar?
Very similar to what a doctor's oath is. Do no harm.
I got you.
Advocate aggressively for each patient.
Well, we'll see then. I was under the impression that when you join the bar, your allegiance is then to the state.
One of our other...
No, it's not. Your first allegiance is to the Constitution, federally.
AKA.
Then to a particular state. And simultaneously... to aggressively advocate on behalf of each and every client.
Okay.
And it feels like a conflict of interest, right? If you're, you know.
Well, yeah. That's why you don't join
the
bar.
To the state.
It is. Yeah, so my problem.
That's why if a police officer becomes an attorney, they practice civil law. Because as a cop, they cannot practice criminal law. That would be a direct conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My problem with the, not my problem, one of my many problems.
I was just trying to compliment Richie.
you did a great job, Gigi.
Well, and the short answer is because I was under the impression that you have to swear allegiance to the state.
Richie, all you have to do is say, Gigi, thanks for the compliment, period. I still say you're bright.
No, I said thank you for that. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're correct on that matter.
All right.
One last thing, permit me.
Go ahead,
Ms. Nikki and gentlemen. I am hopeful. I cannot say guarantee because I cannot swear for another person's behavior or intentions.
Sure.
But my husband and I are exceedingly hopeful that Mr. Freeman shall be receiving fresh fruit and fresh vegetables.
Oh, nice.
Several times a week.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that, Gigi.
None of you were on the panel Thursday when I called in, and I thought Mrs. Freeman was going to fall off the chair when I told her what somebody in my family did.
Nice. Nice.
Not nice.
Well,
important.
I just, like, people... who go out of their way to make
sometimes
other people comfortable.
A letter,
yeah,
is more important than anything else because wardens sit up and take notice.
So then let me turn around and compliment you, Gigi, for the support that you give Mr. Freeman. And
I
of course,
feel very strongly about that.
And, of course,
when
this show, too.
When I got Ian's letter and he was saying about less food being given to us and no fresh produce, and some of us are getting fungus on our nails because we're not getting vitamin C and this isn't healthy, I became a Jewish mother.
Well, Gigi, we thank you for your service and thank you for the call tonight as well. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 if you would like to opine on anything we've talked about tonight. Any other comments, concerns, questions? I was going to mention, Gigi, if you're still listening, one of our sometimes co-hosts, Zephin, is currently attending law school. He's made that public here on the airwaves, so it's not a secret to let people know. So we're currently only able to have him on maybe once a month, thereabouts.
I thought you were going to say, we're currently only able to have one attorney on the show at a time. That spot's taken.
Attorney Talk Live. No, that's a whole different show.
You know, we don't talk about her much, but previously Melanie was on.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. She did do law school. That's true.
Allegedly.
allegedly, yes, allegedly. Even though she sort of, became...
It wasn't questioned at the time. Right,
and well, I'm questioning
out of,
it.
Fall out of favor, and all of a sudden, I was like, "Well, she wasn't really an attorney."
Yeah.
I need some evidence.
All right, so I want to circle back to this amputation story because there's more to it, apparently. So we know that he, froze his legs in dry ice. Right? They tried to
pretended to ride around on a motor scooter.
They tried to manufacture some cockamamie story. That's right. I could say that on the air. Cockamamie. I just like that word. And then, they took the guy to the hospital, the emergency room or whatever, and the doctors, they weren't buying what they were selling.
This frostbite's equal to each other.
Yeah. And also, on that night, it only got down to, 42 degrees.
Yeah.
So, hard to get frostbite riding around on a motorcycle in 42 degrees.
Insurance would probably reject the claim just based on, you weren't wearing socks and shoes in 42-degree weather on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
As Taiwan is a subtropical region, cases of severe frostbite requiring amputation are unheard of due to natural climatic conditions, the Bureau said in its statement. It said Zhang's legs were amputated below the calf due to his frostbite injuries, but his case was reported to the authorities. When police investigated Zhang and Liao in November, they found the plastic bucket used to freeze Zhang's feet.
They didn't even throw it away?
Get rid of the evidence.
They found insurance documents. They found a white polystyrene box for dry ice. 8 mobile phones and a tablet computer, the Investigations Bureau said. I don't know what the significance of 8 mobile phones is, but... Liao and Zhang were arrested
communications.
On January 17th and are both charged with fraud and aiding and abetting serious injury, the Bureau says. Local media, citing prosecutors, reported that Zhang had claimed $7,200 from one insurer, but this money would be seized. Apparently,
what happened to the $1.3
million? Yeah, some insurers and authorities have reported that rates of insurance fraud are rising after the height of the pandemic.
There was a lot of fraud.
Yeah, well, the pandemic itself. A lot of fraud.
Yep.
The City of London Police's Insurance Fraud Enforcement Department said reported cases of opportunistic fraud with someone tries to fake an injury or exaggerate a claim surged from 61% from March, or surged a total of 61% from March 2022 to April 2023. So in 1 year, they saw a 61% spike in this type of a fraudulent activity. The department's chief inspector, Tom Hill, said the increasing cost of living might push people to consider insurance fraud. In February, South Korea amended its law, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Stop inflating your currency.
Yeah.
This is one thing that I did not understand from a national political point of view.
Okay.
Right. If you were the leader of your particular country and every other political leader was devaluing their currency, why would you follow suit? Right? Because
if
you left yours the same or strengthened yours, it would be that much more valuable on the national scale. And so I don't know why everyone's like, well, the United States is doing it, so I guess we got to devalue our currency too.
It is weird how politics on, well, almost any scale, town to town, city to city, county to county, state to state, country to country, right, are a bunch of monkey see, monkey do, mother FCCers.
But it's not even in their best interest, right? At least politicians, they do things like in their best interest at the expense of everybody else. But like, well, for them, it works.
It is in their best interest because they can lie about it and get elected.
Okay.
Right? So like this whole Joe Biden thing, right? So the pandemic kicks in. Biden's president, right?
Sure.
All the businesses are shut down, right? A bunch of businesses closed. Everybody's out of work, right? No art is allowed, right? All that kind of thing. And so then, oh, you see a big job loss, right? And then, oh, everything starts to open back up. Businesses kind of start to come back to an extent or whatever. Now he claims record job growth.
Yeah, no, I get that. Right?
But so, like, that is the why, the in their best interests why.
But if you're a smaller country, because the big guys aren't going to do it for that very reason.
Yeah.
But if you're a smaller country, you don't have a lot of international political power.
Right.
Like, you have a small amount of political power over your small domain, right? If you strengthen your currency against the big political powers, you elevate yourself on the national level, on the international level.
Logically thinking, yes.
Logically, well, that's what I'm saying.
So, I'm with you.
So the only way that they could get more power than what they currently have is on the international level,
mm-hmm.
and they choose to do the opposite, right?
Well,
and
so,
remain a small little fiefdom in their own geographic area.
So it's the age-old question that I think divides sort of the... I don't even want to like acknowledge the presence of these two groups as like battling each other, but the ANCOMs and the ANCAPs, right?
Okay.
The ANCOMs and the ANCAPs are like, so do the banks control the governments or do the governments control the banks? Who's the real bad guy here, right? There's a debate about that. So if it's central banking pulling the strings, then it makes sense because central banks are just going to be like, well, politicians, you have to do what we want to do. If it's the politicians controlling the banks, what you say makes way more sense. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
The crimes of the state. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
The crimes of the state from K through 12th grade. They're taught to hope.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's me, Captain.
It's me, Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. Actually saw a Free Talk Live hoodie here in the studio.
Did you steal it?
No. Oh. It wasn't my size. Oh. That's not the reason I didn't steal it. I didn't steal it because I'm not a thief.
Oh.
But I saw it, and it looked really good. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to... I have so many hoodies right now that, like, you know, I don't know, buying another one might just... You know, I don't know. Might be overkill. But I'd also like to have one that says Free Talk Live. So I'm considering getting one. And you can too. LibertyMinded.com. We already did the studio thing. So.
Before you go on, just real quick.
Yeah.
A passing grade for the bar in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
67.5%.
Really? That's failing in my book.
Yeah. What's
67?
That's enough to make you an attorney.
That's a D plus.
I was going to say, what's that on like a regular grade scale in school?
Right? D plus.
D plus. Yeah.
Yeah. So for nursing school, you had to get a B, at least a B, if you didn't get probably like 80. I think it was 80 and above.
Yeah.
We have to remember to ask Zephin when he passed, when he takes it, like what his score was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like 69.
So what'd you actually score? 69.
Dude. I think we've said all there is to say about this amputation bit, other than, you know, man, what a horrible thing to do to yourself in an attempt to get money. Now the dude has no money and no legs.
Now you know why your parents say, like, if your friend was going to jump off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Yeah.
Would you stop listening?
For a big insurance payout, maybe.
Stop listening to those morons to go to school with.
All right, so we say this every week, but here on the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live, a lot of the stuff we talk about is pretty serious. We talk about how horrible government is. You know, how people are persecuted for no reason whatsoever.
You're talking about throughout the week.
Well, even here on Sundays.
When it comes up.
Right? We talk about, like, heavy stuff. But on Sundays, we try and take it a little bit lighter.
Right.
We don't always succeed at being
Well, we can't
lighter.
Avoid it because people call in and then start talking about serious stuff again.
Right. And that's fine. Like,
we were
okay
trying to talk about
that.
Haitian cannibals and barbecue.
Yeah. That's,
and we did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we've succeeded.
You know, the important stuff. You know,
this Sunday.
And so, people cutting off their legs for insurance claims.
This next article, hard hitting news. Yes, we are. No, we're not. I was going to say something about
speak
like,
for yourself.
Broadcast journalist extraordinaire.
Those cameras don't go under the desk.
We're broadcasts. We're not really journalists. We're talk show hosts. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm a broadcast journalist.
This next article. Deserves to be on the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's from blogto.com.
B-L-O-G-T-O. It's not even a real site.
.com.
Okay.
It's under the eat and drink section.
Ooh.
Okay, sounds legit.
Of their website. The headline reads, this is hard to read without laughing. Protesters dressed as monkeys trash Whole Foods store in Toronto with coconuts.
Let me guess, they're vegan.
What gives you that idea?
Because
they announced it on their way in.
Well, I feel like people that are protesting grocery stores too. I mean,
but it's Whole Foods.
It's never the. It's never the cannibals.
They do have a photo before the story begins.
If you're going to think of like a vegan main grocery store, like Whole Foods has got to be close to what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Not good enough. There's meat in there.
Well, okay. It's not a vegan grocery store, but it's the healthiest one that, you know,
Amazon
owns.
If you think
that
they won't, you know, stand outside naked, covered in blood, wrapped in saran wrap, they'll do that at Whole Foods, absolutely.
What, like Devo's playing Whole Foods?
That's what they do, though.
They do have a photo accompanying this headline, and it's a picture of several people dressed in what look like old school jailhouse. What's the word I'm looking for? Costumes.
Like, they look like mimes.
And yeah, they have sort of mime painted faces, and they're surrounded by three wheelbarrows and a whole bunch of coconuts on the ground.
And how is throwing coconuts like anti-meat?
Maybe they're doing like a silent comedy, like a Charlie Chaplin thing.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Let's find out. On Thursday, activists from nonprofit organization People for the Eating of Tasty Animals. Oh, I'm sorry. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, also known as PETA, P-E-T-A.
The ones who euthanize more animals per year than any other organization
in
the world.
Yeah, PETA sucks. You almost got me there, though. I was like, oh, so it is the meat eaters this time.
That's my parody of PETA, people eating tasty animals. I just, you know, I like to make fun of things.
Like dogs.
PETA's no exception.
And rabbits.
Not to be confused with PETA, the little pocket bread, you know?
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
It's with the eye.
Anyway, these folks from PETA dressed up as monkeys in striped prison uniforms to protest both inside and outside of Whole Foods Market in Toronto.
Not to be confused with PETA Bear either, then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, PETA file is someone who only molests people from the, what is it, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals.
I'm glad you went there instead of the pockets of bread.
But the people as part of PETA are not as glad as you.
Okay.
Anyway, the protest, which took place at the supermarket chain Yonge and Shepherd location, was organized by animal activist Jenny McQueen. Sounds like she got her name from McDonald's, isn't it? The McQueen. Who claims that Whole Foods is, quote, sourcing coconut milk from Thailand despite knowing about the rampant abuse of endangered monkeys.
So even the vegan alternatives aren't good enough. But I will say, most of the vegan alternative foods are way more detrimental to the environment and to... They kill way more insects and mice and whatever than probably actual animal agriculture does.
Yeah. It may have been years ago, but I'm pretty sure we covered a story on a Sunday night edition of the enslavement of those monkeys for the production of coconut milk. Like, I vaguely remember that article being a thing.
Well,
wait, so they're enslaving monkeys?
They enslaved the monkeys to go up and like pick the coconuts.
Enslave, employ, I mean, are they slaves?
I mean, how much of if they're, you know, a product of their labor is being taken from them.
Yeah.
I don't know if the monkeys have a union agreement on, you know, what they got to do there.
I don't know if it was like trade for bananas or something. I don't know.
Well, if that's all it takes, right? Then
I mean,
slaves
how
weren't slaves
they
gonna, either. Yeah. They got food and housing.
Well, to your point, Richie Rich, McQueen further alleges that the monkeys are often whipped, chained, and forced to spend long hours picking coconuts.
Told you.
That makes me sad. I like monkeys.
Sounds like slavery.
Videos of the protests show the activists dressed up as monkeys, all while holding up signs and carrying wheelbarrows full of coconuts into the store. Toronto police confirmed to BlogToe that there were approximately 15 demonstrators and no arrests were made.
They're throwing coconuts at a whole bunch of old white ladies thinking they're doing the right thing.
And also,
I'm already shopping at Whole Foods.
Yeah, what more do you want from me?
What? Some blue hair driven to the edge. It'd be like falling down part two.
I didn't know they were using slave monkeys. It wasn't on the organic label.
This is what's so annoying about like these quote-unquote activists that are really just, you know, like...
A-holes.
Yeah, they're just virtue signaling. Like, they're not actually helping. You know, physically assaulting elderly women at Whole Foods and harassing people, that isn't helping. Do you want to help the monkeys? Go to Taiwan or Thailand or where? Go to Thailand and go free the monkeys. Buy a plane ticket, go to Thailand, find the monkeys. You know, confront the people that are actually enslaving monkeys.
You only have to take like a handcuff key with you.
Yeah, like, don't harass people in Whole Foods. It's just... I don't know, like, I get protesting Whole Foods and being like, okay, listen, you know, stop buying this product from these people. Like, that would be one thing.
Organize a boycott.
But the minimum wage, like, high school employee?
What is Captain doing?
Remember that TV show?
Love that.
The Monkees.
I'm a big fan of the Monkees.
Yeah. Anyway.
Best fake band since Milli Vanilli.
Totally fake band, by the way.
It is a real band.
They eventually learned to play their instruments, but they were not musical when they were signed to do their parts on the TV show.
So, but that's a different, though, right? That's not the Monkees band.
The same, yes.
It's the same?
Yes.
Mind blown.
The Monkees, M-O-N-K-E-E-S, the band.
The band.
Was also a TV show. And in fact, it was a TV show first.
Yes.
And then they just learned how to be musicians?
Yes.
That sounds dumb. Why would they...
While acting. Like, and
well, because
like
they were putting out albums as the monkeys from the TV show and didn't play the instruments.
The TV show was made as a response to the popularity of the
Beatles.
Beatles, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. That makes sense.
And so it was a U.S. production. They got a bunch of... You know, sort of pseudo Beatle haircut looking dudes to play the parts.
Yeah, because that's what they were the U.S. Beatles. Right.
And so they did the TV show first. The TV show was so successful that everybody had to learn to play an instrument in order to go perform the songs
live. So they could go on
live,
tour.
Right, and go on tour.
So I didn't know this was a TV show. I only knew about the band.
So it was a TV show first. So the band is a result of some producers manufacturing the TV show as an answer to the popularity of the Beatles.
Okay.
Now you have something to watch besides the movies we recommend.
No relation to the monkeys in Thailand.
Right. It's just that the word monkeys has been said 17 or 34 times by now. Yeah. And now, like earworm as it will be, yeah. I had the theme song from the monkeys stuck in my head.
No, not even spelled the same.
Right. Just checking.
Yeah, completely spelled wrong by way of comparison. So.
But so is the Beatles, right? It's not spelled like the animal, so that's, you know.
Yeah, B-E-E-T-L-E-S yeah. Is not.
Like a.
Yeah, the Beatles are
like turn the beat around.
Right, yes, they have beat. Yeah. Beat less. They have no beat. That explains Ringo. Oh, snap.
Wah, wah.
Anyway, this lady, McQueen, who is sort
I thought he was going to play a video of, like, the monkeys getting abused or something.
It's like, ugh.
Listen to them whip the monkeys in Thailand, but nope. Musical interlude on Free Talk Live.
You know, hey man, I'm a music guy. Right?
I know, I get it.
Gotta have, plus, I had the earworm, so I got to get rid of it.
Gotta get rid of it. Sure.
Get rid of it. Anyway, McQueen assures the coconuts used by the activists weren't picked.
Right, they were locally
by the monkeys. Locally, that doesn't say that here, but it, yeah, locally sourced yeah. Coconuts,
farm raised,
non-GMO.
Oh, what is the word? The Rainforest Alliance certified.
Oh, yeah, and that's it.
Okay, so hold on a moment. Because
negative carbon footprint.
Wait, hold on. Hold okay. That thought.
All right. All right.
After the protest, the demonstrators donated the 200 coconuts to local Toronto vegan restaurant Ital Vital Rasta.
I was going to say, if they have that many coconuts and they can source it that way. Right, then they can open up their own distribution facility and source the coconuts to the companies that are using yeah. The Thailand coconuts.
But that'd be capitalism.
Well, of course. But that's how you outcompete them, right? If you don't want to use slave monkeys, then put your efforts in and see if you can get those costs down.
Don't actually want to do anything that will take any real work or actually benefit
they
humanity
already picked
in
the
any
coconuts.
Way.
They had to pick the coconuts for the protest. They could have picked the coconuts to distribute for the coconut milk
I'm
people.
Sure they just bought coconuts from the Whole Foods down the street.
I'll tell you where they came from. There's a picture of, you know, some of the activists holding these coconuts. There's boxes full of coconuts in the photo. It's from a post on Twitter. It's from Ital Vital Rasta. It says, we want to give a big thank you to @PETA and @TorontoVeg. Toronto vegetarians, I guess, for donating 200 coconuts to us. The donation was made to us because humans in Thailand are enslaving monkeys. That's supposed to be one word, enslaving.
Okay.
But no, they've got two words.
So
in,
they
I
came
am,
by a donation, but somebody picked them. Who picked those coconuts?
No, I don't. I think this doesn't answer our question. I think this is post. This is the thank you post. So this is the restaurant thanking the protesters yeah. for donating
okay.
the coconuts used in the protest.
Yeah. So where did these protesters get the coconuts and who picked them?
Multiple similar protests have taken place over the past few months at other Whole Foods locations.
And where is it tropical enough in Toronto to pick coconuts?
Yeah. Locations include Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, and Vancouver. Also in recent memory was the Dairy is Scary rally that crashed the Toronto Maple Leafs outdoor practice in Nathan Phillips Square last month. In opposition of the team's new partnership with Dairy Farmers of Ontario.
It must be so annoying to live in Toronto. Like, imagine being a normal person that lives in Toronto and having to deal with this.
Before
it's like living in Los Angeles. It's like, I moved here because it was warm and sunny and, you know, whatever. But now I have to deal with all of these scary dairy vegans and people throwing coconuts at me in Whole Foods.
Not going to lie, before I settled on New Hampshire, when I was like trying to find some place to move to that was better than Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Toronto was on the short list.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah. Because I heard good. I don't remember. This was like 2007.
Yeah.
You know, I just heard good things about that area. I'm like, well, if I can become a Canadian, like, why not? It's better than what's going on here. Half the time.
There's a quote here. We take this issue seriously and have previously confirmed our private label suppliers do not use animal labor in producing these products, Whole Foods Market wrote in a statement. We have reinvestigated this issue out of an abundance of caution and have again confirmed that coconuts from Thailand used in these products are harvested without the use of animal labor. So Whole Foods themselves says, we double checked and okay. We're not using slave monkey coconuts.
You know what would have been even funnier? I don't know. Again, I don't know how long ago.
A band called Slave Monkey Coconuts?
Yes, now.
Okay.
But there was some state in the union that was going to be treating furries was like animal control.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, good. So I'm not making stuff up.
Nope.
If they like called animal control to round up these people dressed as monkeys throwing coconuts at people instead of the police, like they just put the collar around them and like yanked them into the control truck.
I want to know if during this protest,
they're rabid,
as they're hurling coconuts about the Whole Foods. I'm not sure. It doesn't.
Were they husked coconuts or just were like raw coconuts?
Well, in the photo, there's a couple of them that are sort of like broken open in half.
Okay.
You know, but most of them, you know, are whole, you know, bowling ball looking,
okay,
you know, things. But like, I want to know, as they're hurling these coconuts about the Whole Foods, if anybody like grabbed a lime and tried to put
the lime
in the coconut and drank it all up.
Shake it all up.
Yeah. I wonder if that occurred, because I would have tried something like that. I'd be like, look at all these coconuts. Oh, look, here's a lime. Let's do the thing.
Call your doctor.
If you do it more than once, yeah, call your
doctor.
Okay, all right. You have a problem.
That seems like it would be so rancid.
Yeah.
Dairy and citrus?
Well, coconut's interesting, right? You know?
Okay.
Because it's not really dairy.
Well, it's, okay, fine. Coconut milk, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really coconut juice.
Sure.
I don't know why they call it milk.
Because they call everything milk.
Yeah.
That looks white.
Yeah. Almond milk.
Yep.
It's like, it's not really almond milk. It's water rushed through.
We need a law.
Yeah, it's really just water and almonds blended together with like seed oils and a bunch of other stuff.
It's like really thin almond butter. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, but almond butter's different. That's more like peanut butter.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
It's brown.
Like, you add a bunch of water to it to thin it out, and then, you know, you put it in boxes and call it milk.
Yeah.
It would be like peanut milk. Right? That doesn't even sound appealing, but like it would probably taste like peanut butter flavored milk.
A few weeks ago on, I think it was Wednesday's show, we covered that the dairy industry was targeting the milk alternatives.
Yes.
And they wanted to
They're
call
not
it,
allowed
like,
to call it
nut
milk.
Water or like nut juice or something.
So,
they're like, stop using the word milk. You either have to misspell it or call it something else.
Yes.
So briefly during the break, while you guys were talking about like the tea that Captain was drinking.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat of a tea snob.
Okay.
And I don't like herbal teas being called herbal teas because there's no tea leaf in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an herbal infusion.
Yeah. Or herbal blend.
There's no tea leaf in herbal tea?
Correct.
Well, because a tea leaf would be like black tea, right? So
yeah.
Or, tea leaf. Or from the tea leaf. From the tea leaf plant.
Maybe this explains why I like black tea, English breakfast tea, Earl Grey, right, over anything else.
Like, because they're completely different.
Is there tea in green tea?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's fermented, I think, right?
I don't know if it's fermented.
I think it's black tea leaves that they do something to.
Oh, I thought they just dried them up, put them in a bag.
It's maybe somewhere in the process, because they did the white tea for a little bit, and that's just harvested early, right? And black tea is dried or whatever, and there's oolong tea. But herbal tea is usually other things, not the tea leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And they just call it herbal tea because you steep it like you would normal tea.
Right.
But there's no tea in it. Mm. So I get where the milk industry is coming from.
Yeah.
It's not milk.
Right.
Right. Yep. It's something other than milk. You can call it what you want, just like they call herbal tea herbal tea. Right. But it's not the same thing.
It's still lame to get the state involved.
I mean,
like, would you be like, we need a law?
I've never said
says,
we need a law, but I correct people
so
all the
that's,
time.
That's what the dairy industry was doing. And to me, it seems like a lot of people are going to milk alternatives and they're starting to, you know,
right,
not like that market competition.
So you're telling me that herbal tea is not Mr. T's offspring?
Nope, not at all.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like if he had like a grandkid kid or
named Herbal.
Kid named Herbal. Herb tea.
Just call him Herb.
I pity the fool who doesn't steep.
Now, if you really want to get on the milk industry, right, like what percent of milk is whole milk?
Yeah, skim milk. I mean, I get offended when people call that milk.
Yeah.
I don't even like it pasteurized.
What about 1%, 2%, right? How come there's not like a 50% milk?
Mm-hmm. Because whole milk is like 3%.
So it's not really whole.
It's not whole at all. And it's not that much
of a difference. Because they're talking about the fat content, right?
Right. Yeah. So you get like from 3% down to 2%, it's not that big of a jump. But people go like, oh, 2% milk.
Like I said, I don't even want it pasteurized. I don't even want it homogenized. Just leave it.
Just get your raw
fresh
milk.
Yeah.
Like Tom Green.
Tom Green.
Straight
too.
From the udder.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've carried this story about as far as it's going to go. Or have we?
I don't know. Was there more to it besides people throwing coconuts at blue-haired ladies?
No.
Okay.
Although
no injuries?
There none that they reported in this. I was concerned.
No arrests.
I was concerned about doing this story.
Democrats.
I was concerned about doing this story here in the studio because, as you know, there's a studio animal, a little puppy dog, whose name happens to be Coconut.
Okay.
And so, I thought
he would come running every time you said the name.
Yeah, I was concerned that he'd be going bouncing every time we said the word. That he'd be bouncing between us and, you know, what? And like
you keep calling me.
Yeah, what? Stop it! Right? We're frustrating the studio pup. But yeah,
the studio beast.
The beast,
as Mark would say.
If you will.
The beast.
Delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance.
Oh.
And tolerance. Oh, the tolerance is the real
time to piss off like half the audience, or like 5% of the audience. I mean,
I and that was just a whiplash segue with no announcement. Yeah, just right there. I believe I invented the whiplash segue.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least the term. Maybe not the segue itself. I believe many other broadcasters have at some point done a whiplash segue where they just like, into this, start of that, without any sort of announcement. But I put a term to it. So there you go. You can all use it. There's no copyright or anything like that. Feel free. Other broadcasters, whiplash segue away.
You just got to be like, speaking of feminists, right? And then there goes your coconuts to your whatever this thing is.
My nuts to the feminists.
They need them.
Also, how come somebody hasn't made like a chocolate covered peanut that's called Cocoa Nuts?
Oh.
Okay.
COCOA.
That's a good business.
Right? You know what I mean?
Because it's already called Almond Joy.
Mounds don't.
I mean, it's got the coconut and the nuts.
Again, the headline here is the delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance.
Wow.
By Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge.
You can't survive without us, ladies. Even if you think you can. You're delusional.
This sounds like the Whatever podcast. That's what are you guys familiar with that?
Is it called the Whatever podcast?
I thought you just couldn't remember the name of it. But
it's called the Whatever podcast, yeah.
Sorry. No, I have no idea what you're talking about, apparently, based on my reaction to your...
Sounds like something Andrew Tate would say.
Well, yeah, that too.
But what is this headline and article all about? We'll find out coming up. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live, still to come, 603-283-6160.
There was more to that.
There is, but
I was waiting for the vulgarity.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm trying to remember the artist now. Is it Pinkerton Bowden?
Oh, I love Pinkerton Bowden.
Yeah, I think that's their song.
You know how hard it is to find Pinkerton Bowden stuff on like the illegal sites?
No, I don't.
It's difficult.
Yeah, I bet.
It's practically non-existent. I have a CD in storage somewhere that's like the only way for me to consume it for a long time.
Wow.
Right?
I mean, I'm kind of not surprised. A lot of the obscure stuff that got played on, like, Dr. Demento, which is where I first heard this
song. It's the internet. It's supposed to be there.
Well, you can find all of this stuff on Dr. Demento's show. You have to subscribe, though. He's got all this. His show and everything is behind a paywall now. He's not on the radio anymore. Internet broadcast only. That gives him freedom that he doesn't have on the radio.
I get it.
Right? And so if you subscribe to his show, you get access to his archives.
I had more faith in the nerds.
You think people who listen to Dr. Demento and subscribe are not nerds?
No, I think the people who like put up torrent sites and on Napster and stuff, right, back in the day, would have listened to more things and would have gotten up there.
There is a whole bunch of music missing from the internet.
I get it.
Right? Anything your grandfather listened to on a 78, probably not on the internet.
Okay.
Right. 33 and a third LPs probably made it if they were digitized. So there's a whole bunch of music that was done on, we'll call it vinyl only.
Right.
Prior to 8 tracks.
I mean, you can get like cassettes. 50s and 60s music.
Some.
Yeah.
But not all.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's a whole bunch of stuff missing. This is what I'm saying about music. There's a whole bunch of stuff missing from the internet that has not been uploaded.
Okay. Well, get on it, nerds.
Yeah. You heard them. Nerds.
Nerds.
So this is Free Talk Live. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I must say thank you to Robin Mack, or Mack, M-A-C-H. Robin is a gold level amplifier. What does it mean to be an amplifier, Nikki?
They help us advertise, market, promote, and support this show.
And how do they do that?
By contributing some monetary amount of money, depending on what they would like to donate monthly.
In this case, Robin Mack is a gold level amplifier, which means they contribute $10 a month. We only ask for 5 at the silver level, but you can contribute more. And there's different levels, and you get little perks for contributing. But the money, where does it go to? Well, it doesn't go to my beer fund, and it doesn't go to Nikki's new clothing for the baby fund, and it doesn't go to Richie Rich's I need a comb for my beard fund.
We need a crypto level just to stick it to those silver people. Well above their silver level.
It's a Patreon-type setup, so okay. You could pay in whatever currencies Patreon is currently accepting. But the money goes to get this program on more radio stations. So if you're listening and you enjoy the program, you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics, the perspective of freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity that we bring, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Robin Mack. We appreciate you. All right, moving right along. We were
like
talking.
Only silver. No, I'm a crypto level amplifier. I give them like $500 a month.
Oh,
in
see.
Bitcoin.
I see. The silver level would be if you contributed silver.
Most lowest level.
It currently is.
Currently is. Yeah.
So we began talking about this headline. We actually only got to the headline. The headline from this article from ZeroHedge.com says the delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance. We'll just get through a paragraph here. We've got some callers on hold that we need to get to. These days, we hear a lot about the concept of the male power fantasy. I don't hear anything
I've
about
never
that.
Heard I've that, never heard like, that phrase before in my life.
Usually in references to accusations of toxic masculinity.
Okay. I hear that, yeah.
Does it have a definition, though?
Not here in this paragraph, anyway. In other words, feminists and woke activists argue that the male power fantasy is a social construct that makes men aggressive, and masculine aggression is supposedly the cause of most of society's ills. So I guess,
I mean, that sounds really dumb.
That's their way of defining it, I guess.
I would honestly say the opposite of that.
Yeah,
that
you're not
like,
a feminist,
being
then.
Over... Like men, absolutely, there are men that are like overly aggressive and toxic, sure. But I think that's due to a lack of solid masculinity.
Okay. I would also say toxic masculinity goes the other way, and it's the weak men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the I'm a nice guy guys.
Yeah.
Who harass people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, are owed
oh,
and something
like,
from
oh,
them.
Oh, girls don't like nice guys. It's like, well, maybe you're like not and, actually a nice guy.
And
yeah,
why?
That's toxic.
Yeah.
What's the most common denominator amongst that particular type of a male?
The leftists.
No, they did not have a strong male figure in the household.
Yeah,
growing
I mean,
up.
Yeah, okay. That's huge.
No strong male father figure in the household.
And
growing up.
The feminists are not going to like you saying that.
Well, I mean, like, I largely,
I'm a strong, independent, single mom.
Yeah. I'm a strong, independent, single person.
I don't know why my
man.
Son is out of control.
You know, like, what does that mean? I'm strong, independent, single. What, who cares? Like, why do you feel the need to announce that to everybody?
Yeah. You know? I mean, this is a huge thing that I'm into. I mean, you know, I'm very into, obviously, like, homeschooling, not breaking up the family unit, yeah. I think is very, very important. And I think...
Waited until she was married to get pregnant.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just smart, right? It's like, we need some commitment here before, and just there are so many things in our modern world that I think are purposely invented to disrupt the normal family, you know, whatever the family unit, right?
So the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not even just that. I mean, it's
okay, Sarah.
I mean, it's a huge topic. I mean, like, we could go into the economy, how we need, how a lot of families need a double income household to even be able to make ends meet.
Yep.
So then they have to send their kids to public school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this huge thing. So it's
spirals into the state.
Yes. Yeah, oh, essentially.
No, certainly. Like, I believe that the family unit was disrupted specifically, or assisted with its disruption specifically by government in order to double its tax base.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's one of the things.
Here's a way government can double the amount of money it rapes from people on an annual basis just by doubling the workforce. Right?
Yeah.
Getting women into the workforce, which they weren't largely previously. Right.
That was started with a wartime effort, though, right?
Sure.
Like, oh, all the men are dying. Who's going to build stuff?
And but that wasn't the first.
That was their excuse.
That wasn't the first war.
All right.
Right.
Right? I mean, it was like a world war, so you could
argue. It's kind of a big one.
You know, yeah, it's kind of a big one.
Send more guys to that one.
But, I mean, human beings have been at war since the beginning of time, right?
Right. Yeah.
And women have always had to stay at home, take care of children, like that was kind of their role in society.
Like the 70s and 80s, particularly with like the early feminist movement and that type of thing, and then the advent of divorce, right? Or at least the increase.
The normalization, right?
The normalization of divorce as it used to be sort of the exception. Divorce.
Yeah, stayed with them and
now,
took the beat.
Now it's just like, oh, we've broken up and the government recognizes we're no longer boyfriend-girlfriend. Like marriage as a legal entity shouldn't even exist. Like,
and the government says she can have half your stuff.
Right, and there's all these laws about it that like certainly are unfavorable to the men.
Right.
With regard to divorce.
Generally.
So,
and she gets the kids.
Yeah.
You pay her half and she keeps your kids.
I've mentioned this before in Washington State before I left. There's something that says if you just live with a girl who has kids that are from somebody before you, from another guy, you live with her long enough, they consider you common law marriage, or if you get married and then divorced or whatever, you're on the hook for the kids that aren't yours.
It's right. Just so crazy, though, because like those aren't your kids.
Right.
What about the real baby daddy?
Off the hook, because you took his responsibility.
I mean, so we
That's the way I understand it.
That's how I understand it as well. I've heard of this, you know, law in Washington State as well.
But then again, that disincentivizes the men from staying with the woman.
Right.
Right. Like, why would you go out with, you know, why would you take on a woman with children if you're going to be legally obligated forever?
Yeah. Let's table this for a minute and let's go to this particular caller. It's Jet calling. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. Well, I have to admit, I'm probably one of those toxic males who believes in personal liberty.
Well, that doesn't make you toxic to us, choices. So.
Yeah, I married a good Christian woman way back when, and we had a good life for about 16 years before she decided that I was toxic. And so I'm single.
Congratulations.
But the situation was, initially, she would say how, I understand that you're the head of the house, you're the leadership and all that, and I will follow you and do all this kind of thing until enough of her friends, you know, got together and said, you know, we're tired of this stuff.
It's always the friends.
Anyway, but I'm also so much a toxic male in that I believe that people with titles are just other people. You've probably heard that before.
Sure. From you specifically.
And yeah.
And I don't recognize half of the captain's titles. Couldn't even remember them if I tried.
Sometimes I can't either. It's amazing I remember them on some Sunday shows.
I'm sure you will join with me in the sadness of the news of Princess Kate's cancer diagnosis.
Oh, no, a monarch died? Oh, darn.
No, she just got diagnosed with cancer.
No, they didn't die. No, uh-huh. just got cancer.
Do you actually care? And if nobody, so, why?
Nobody else in the world is in the news for getting cancer, but certain people with titles sure are.
Yeah. Well, she's more important than us. Clearly.
That's what I'm saying, is they have more rights and privileges than you or I because somehow.
Yeah. Well, but you can say that about people without titles, right? Celebrities don't necessarily have titles, but they make the news cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. Well, that was just one little tidbit, but the one I wanted to focus on today was I saw this fellow, I don't know if you'd call him an auditor or not, but he got stopped by these cops because he didn't have a special little tag on the back of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were telling him about how he had broken the code and that kind of thing. He said, well, that's not a crime. He was one of those crazy people, another toxic male, who kind of stood his ground. And,
sovereign citizen.
Said, well, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't one of those.
Okay.
But he did decide to just tell him, you know, it's not a crime, and I'm not going to give you any information, and here's a statement or affidavit of something or other that he gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept pursuing it. They said, well, we need to see your driver's license. He said, well, I'm not going to show you anything like that. He said, well, if you don't show us this information we want to know, we'll have to break your window and haul you out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And in each one of these situations that I've seen like that, I want the person to kind of play it back to the police. And they never do. The idea that, so what you're telling me is because I don't have a sticker on my car, you're willing to destroy my property, hurt me, maybe tase me, possibly even shoot me,
mm-hmm.
because I have not put a sticker on my car.
Right.
I just want them to step through in the minds of these cops to understand the level of violence they're willing to do to
somebody.
They
don't understand that, though.
Yeah, you're presupposing that cops have the intellect to comprehend that particular string of words together and put it together logically.
I have been dragged from my car under similar circumstances.
Ooh.
Not the broken window.
But what I'm getting at is none of these people, they might stand their ground and say, I'm not going to do it. It's not a crime. Go away. Leave me alone. I want to be on my way. But they don't feed it back to the individual to clarify on video. So what you're saying is you're going to do all these things because I don't have a sticker.
Right.
And then have them at least acknowledge it on video.
So I didn't get video of it, but I did have a conversation from the backseat of a police car where I told the cop that he was no better than a robot. Right. He's like not even human because all he does is follow orders. He's like, I like my life like that. I prefer not having to think about these things.
He said that?
I just do. Yes. He absolutely
That's
did.
That's wild to admit that.
Right. But I got him to say, I don't have video. I was in the back of a police car.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of human beings feel that way. But yes. To be able to articulate it and like actually cognitively know,
I just like
and
following
admit
orders
because
I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
That's what the response I got was. And I'm sure he's not the only one. Yeah. So even if you repeat it back to them, I don't think it makes a difference.
No, not to repeat it back to them, but to get them to say, yes, we are willing to hurt you, kill you, put you in a cage like a wild animal because you failed to put a sticker on your car.
It would be great if somebody did that in a jet. I think you remember Columbo, right? If they did the Columbo version of that, they say, wait, let me see if I understand this correctly.
Exactly.
I don't have a stick, you know, et cetera, and then go through it. You know, I wonder if they go, yes, you understand it correctly.
I had a friend who joined the National Guard like after I met him. And I said, if we ever met on the battlefield, you know we'd be on opposite sides, right? And you would fire on me. He's like, if I got the order, yes.
Whoa. I go, all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the mentality, man.
I mean, that's truthful.
It's truthful,
but
yes.
But to admit it is
without hesitation.
Yeah.
Without hesitation. I mean, if they gave me the order, I'm fired. Like, that's my job, bro. Eric, all right.
That's crazy.
That's all it takes.
And, well, the reason I was saying that was because in this dialogue or in this exchange, the police actually said things like, I understand where you're coming from, blah, blah, blah. And that would have been the perfect opportunity for them to say, do you understand? Because here's what I'm hearing you say. Anyway, that's just the two little tidbits I had for today. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood.
I understand, but I've got a family to feed, and I got to get home safe to my family. Yeah. So I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, Jet. As always,
that's how much it. I ruin your life.
They don't. They don't. Care right. They don't.
As always, Jet, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. Feel free to call again whenever we are on air.
But if you try to get home safe to your family,
right,
then all of a sudden you get kicked out of social events.
Right. Like, well, like it'd be interesting, you know, in Jet's same sort of experiment, if the cop said something like that, if the person that they're harassing would go, well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Just get home to my family safe.
I mean, I had a cop shine the flashlight in, and on my little satchel, I had like a mini pinch flashlight, and I shine it back at him just to like, hey, you got one, I got one too.
Yeah, just to,
Right? And he's like, hey, man, I'm just doing this for my safety. I'm like, well,
I'm just doing this for my safety.
Well, no, I said, well, if you really wanted to be safe, you wouldn't be harassing people in the middle of the night and approaching their car. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you came up to me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you started this.
That is such a great point. The audacity to literally pull someone over, harass them, and then act like a big hero and, oh, I'm putting my life in jeopardy to do this.
Just stay home.
Oh, really? To write me a speeding ticket?
Yeah.
And then you're going to act like you're all scared. No, I have to do all these, take all these precautions for my safety.
If you're that
seriously?
If you're that much of a chicken, just stay home.
Yeah.
They're coming right for me.
That's also what they say.
The old South Park bit.
Now it's an acorn, right? You guys saw the acorn story, right?
I mean, that was so
bad. Oh my gosh,
bad.
An acorn fell. I better fire.
And to claim he got hit. I'm hit.
Well, that's a level of like delusion.
No, that what that is that's backtracking. That's somebody
lying.
Who knows that somebody who knows exactly what the FCC happened and is like, oh man, how do I fabricate a lie that gets me out of this?
I mean,
an acorn fell.
It's not a very good lie because
that's somebody trying to make something up in the spur of the moment because they know they effed up.
And the second cop
it's
to just fire
good.
As well.
No, of course not. That's
because
the worst lies are made up in the spur of the moment when you're trying to get away with something.
I mean, I've never been shot before, even wearing like any sort of armor. I can imagine that it's going to feel a lot different than getting hit with anything else. Literally anything else.
He wasn't even hit with the acorn.
He just didn't
get hit.
He just probably had some like angina from, you know, the heart condition he's got from all the donuts.
But the second cop as well, right? Like shots fired and then she unloads towards the vehicle.
Yeah.
Without being
monkey see, monkey do. She saw her partner begin to unload. She's like, oh my gosh, I better unload too.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get home safe to their family. They're just doing their job. Right. But they will kill you in the process. And you're expected to be compliant and calm and know better in the face of that nonsense.
All right. So,
but fight back. Forget about it. No, I can't do that.
So circling back to this bit from Zero Hedge about delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance. The author of the article says, I would point out, however, that we don't really see men talking about or obsessing much over power these days. Instead, it's women, mostly feminists, blithering incessantly about power, institutional power, imbalances in power, and how much they want power. If I was to guess by their rantings at all the root principle that inspires all of feminism, it wouldn't be equality, it would be their thirst for power. It's also important to understand that the female power fantasy looks directly and darkly different from the average male power fantasy, and this is why so many people remain skeptical of women in authority. All we have to do is look how they express their desires in fiction. If one studies the archetypal ideals of the hero's journey, a hallmark of the male power fantasy, what we almost always find are stories of self-sacrifice. Power for most men is meant to be used in service to others. to protect and provide for those who cannot protect themselves.
Or seek revenge.
I mean, maybe. Sometimes, yeah.
This symbolism is found everywhere in literature, television, and movies centered on powerful and popular male figures. Rather than being toxic, men are compelled by their inherent relationship to power to achieve something greater for all of the people around them.
I mean, it's also what politicians would claim, right? It's a public service.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for you guys.
That's what they convince themselves of, or at least
it fits the narrative.
Yeah. We can talk more about this. You can call in and opine, 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
I got your back, dog. Yeah.
Thanks, brother. I almost pressed the wrong button. It probably would have been fine, but like one of us would have been muted.
It would have been the captain.
It probably would have been me.
I think that's mic one.
Yeah, I think I almost censored myself.
We would have been one octave off.
Yeah.
However keyboards work. I'm not a musician.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't know how music works either, and I am a musician. Seriously, like I was in a jam situation with some people. I used to have I call it a studio apartment. It was a one bedroom apartment, but the living room, the kitchen, and this little area where I had my home bar was all one big room, right?
Priorities.
And so, I was set up for, people to come over and play full band. I had an electronic drum kit, a really nice one, an Alesis Strike. Right. Anyway, really nice drum kit. Sounds natural. Like I had, you know, real drummers come over playing. They're like, "Oh, sounds great." But we were able to do everything through headphones, so as not to annoy the neighbors. We're on the ground floor, so like even like the pounding of the double kick on the floor wouldn't annoy anybody because there's no neighbors below me. So at any rate, me and the drummer were talking about the riff that we're trying to play, and the bass player's trying to learn the riff, and he's asking me this question in musical terms. He's like, "Okay, so you go from a D, does it go to an A minor and then an F, or is it an A major and then an F sharp?" And I'm like, I don't know. I look at the drummer. I'm like, "Can you speak music to him for me? And
translate,
what I'm doing?"
Please.
And he did. He turned around. He's like, "Okay, actually, what it is?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I get it now."
I've heard that stereotype that is kind of the drummer's role in the band to translate and, you know.
But yeah,
I don't know if that's true.
A guitar player, like if somebody goes, "Okay, we're going to start this in the key of C and then we're going to move to A," right? I go, "Yeah, I don't know what that means. Can you show me the riff?" And they go, "Yeah, it goes like this." Dun 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 dun. I'm like, "Oh, like this?" Dun dun dun. And they go, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay, I got it." It's weird, man. Anyway, what are we doing? In the studio, it's myself, the captain,
Nikki,
and Rich.
We've been talking about this article from Zero Hedge. The headline reads, "Delusional Feminist Power Fantasy Relies on Male Charity and Tolerance." And
we are in control.
Yeah. And so they go on to say, they talk about the studies of archetypal ideals in the hero's journey as far as like the power fantasy for men. And the power fantasy for men mostly is meant to be in service to others, to protect and provide for those who cannot protect themselves. And the symbolism can be found everywhere in culture and literary form. This is not to say that there are no men with twisted motives. History is, of course, splattered with male rulers who have abused their authority and committed a host of atrocities. And this is why, when we talk about the word anarchy, it's important to tell you, the listeners of this show, that anarchy does not mean no rules. Mm-hmm. It means no rulers. That don't give power to those who are going to be the most toxic. I'm talking about presidents. I'm talking about monarchs, kings, queens, stuff like that. Anyway, these men are the exception to the rule. The majority of men desire a chance at heroism and adherence to a moral code. We used to call it chivalry, the opposite of villainy.
There's a lot to chivalry beyond just that. Like, it's an interesting code if you get into it.
I've never looked into like what's behind the, like, I hear the word off the top. Oh,
chivalry?
Yeah, like, of you. Oh, you think of like, you know, opening the door and paying for dinner, but
it's way more in depth than that.
Or some lady's going like, oh, he seems like a chivalrous type of dude or whatever. Or they complain there's not enough chivalry in the world. There used to be more. Right. That kind of
thing. Right, but they're usually referring to like the opening the door,
right?
Not like the codes of combat.
Yeah, true. The hero's journey usually requires a struggle to attain the power that will eventually be used by the man in question. It is at least subconsciously understood that power attained without experience and wisdom leads to corruption.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Turn to the dark side before your training is complete.
Yes. In other words, for men, great power comes with great responsibility. I can't believe they used that.
Okay, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm playing through like Spider-Man 2, and it there's a lot of wokeness in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, just really? Saying.
Yeah. Hmm. Carry on.
My wayward son?
Sure.
Will there be peace when you are gone?
No.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more?
No.
Speaking of Gwar.
Was that Gwar?
Well, they did a cover of that. It's the best cover of that song of all time.
That doesn't make sense in my brain, but I'll take your word for it.
If you've never seen Gwar covering Kansas Carry On My Wayward Son,
that just doesn't sound right.
Get to your favorite magic rectangle and bring that up immediately, because it is great. It is better than the original song, in my opinion.
I really like that song.
If you're going to pull that song up, find the one where they did, I think it's the Something Club. Is where they did it, the original one. They released an album cut of it too, which is also hilarious, but I like the first one better because they did it live. They did it live! That's right.
A quote that I think more libertarians need to like understand and internalize is that liberty requires eternal vigilance. I don't know the whole quote.
Yeah.
But that's it. You don't get to rest.
Yeah.
You don't get to lay your weary head.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a wayward son.
Yeah.
You got to attain it, and then you got to diligently keep it for generations to come, and train those generations to be diligent and vigilant about it as well.
Yeah. We had a take on that as one of the lyrics, one of our songs. It was, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Yep. That might be the full quote.
Sometimes when you write lyrics for songs, you have to like, you know, you might try to directly quote something, but because of the syncopation, paraphrase.
Whatever it is, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You don't get to rest. You get it. To keep it, you have to be eternally vigilant.
Continuing on with the article, the female power fantasy, however, unfortunately, is very different for feminists in particular. Great power means never having to take responsibility for anything ever.
Which, it's the patriarchy.
Which is the problem that I have with the state, a.k.a. government.
Yeah.
Right? Because all you're doing is outsourcing responsibility. You're like, oh, but I care about the poor. My taxes. No, you don't care about the poor. You just want government to care about the poor for you, so you don't have to worry about it, right?
Yep.
It's that security blanket. Yeah. The refusal to take 100% responsibility for yourself and your actions.
Right.
Like the monkey protesters.
Yeah. Or
going to a Whole Foods instead of Thailand.
As I like to say, be the captain of yourself.
Yeah, there you go. And I think this is a huge issue with modern feminism, because, like they already alluded to in this article, it's not equality that these women want. They want more than equality, right? I think it's so dangerous because there's that like true delusion in their minds where they're like, no, we just want equality, but I want the man to pay child support. I want all of these rights over my kid, family court's on my side. If we get divorced, I want half of everything or more than half of everything. Yep. And you know what I mean? It's eternal alimony. Yeah, it's just this entitlement. It's this wild entitlement. And people, I hear women say like, oh, well, we've been oppressed for so long, so now's our time. And it's like, but that's, you're touting equality, but that's not equality. That is like, and then I think a lot of men have gotten so burned and jaded by that mentality with a lot of women that have that now they're like, oh, well, Where's the man that's going to take me out to dinner? And, well, guess what? That man doesn't want you. That man doesn't want that kind of woman.
Right.
Per the article, you upset the men enough, we take it all back.
Hmm. And that's, yeah, kind of what happens.
Well, what's the title say? They exist. The headline again.
It relies on the delusional feminist power fantasy relies on male charity and tolerance.
Male charity and tolerance.
Yeah.
If you upset us enough, the charity goes away and we become very intolerant.
So the article
over.
Is focusing, so far they've outlined like what the male power
but
fantasy.
Saudi Arabia.
So far they've outlined what the male power fantasy looks like in fiction, in like literature and yeah. movies and TV stuff. So now they're outlining the female power fantasy. When fictional women with power are written by women, specifically feminists or woke activists, you will see a considerable juxtaposition when it comes to how that power is attained and used. A female power fantasy does not inspire a woman to be a hero. In fact, when feminists write protagonists, they often act like villains. They tend to be selfish, narcissistic. They lack depth and lack the redeeming qualities associated with principled people. When women fantasize about power, they are more likely to reflect psychopathic traits instead of nurturing feminine traits. And they go on to say, there is no such thing as an archetypal hero's journey for modern women. In pop culture, female icons usually gain power automatically without any effort to earn it. They are born with magical abilities, magic or God-given talents, or they manifest power by sheer psychological will, such as the fantasy of witchcraft. They imagine that they want, and that what they want is supposed to come to them magnetically. This is not just fiction to feminists. They really think this kind of magic.
See,
is
I've
real.
Never
manifestation?
I've never I'm really big into manifestation, but I use my powers for good, thankfully.
I either use my powers for good or for awesome.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not familiar with any literature or movies in regards to like what they're talking about. So I feel
they've
like
all failed.
I can't really like dispute that.
They're box office disasters.
I mean, so to me, I'm like, that's not, I can't resonate with this, but I'm also not a modern feminist. So, but I'm sure any modern feminist who's listening to this is probably like wildly offended. Like, that's not true. And then they would say all the thing, like all of the positive qualities that we were just talking about, like with the hero's journey and like, you know, the healthy male's drive for power and using that power for good. They would probably dispute that.
Yeah.
There's a few, separate examples with like modern movies that were, you know, written, directed, whatever, by a female.
Yeah.
And failed in the box office.
Yeah.
And the prelude to it is like, this is a feminist movie. You men are not wanted here. Don't go see this movie.
So there's
and
half
so they don't.
Of your...
And so they don't. Right? And they go like, this failed at the box office because the men won't go see it.
Yeah.
Because you told us not to. Right. Bill Bird does a bit on this. You might have seen this one, Captain. He's talking about like the WNBA.
Yeah.
Like, there's no men at the WNBA games, and they complain about it.
Yeah.
Well, here's your chance, women. Go support your team.
And the WNBA was
subsidized
by the NBA.
NBA, yeah.
Because it would not make enough money on its own to stand.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's a huge thing, right? Like, a hot topic with feminists, where they're very upset that male athletes get paid so much more, and they really do. They get paid so much more than
female
athletes.
Commensurate with what they bring in.
So, and it's like, I'm not going to go watch a woman's basketball game. I'm not going to watch a male basketball. Like, I'm not, I think most women aren't interested in sports like that. So maybe that's why.
But that was his point. Like, here's your chance. If you want, if you want to be on the same level as the men, like, you as women have to go out and support these athletic endeavors.
Yeah.
You as women have to go out and put those box office numbers at the movies, right? If it's going to be a men versus women thing, and you expect the men to subsidize it by going to see movies or athletic events that we don't want to go to, and you told us not to come to, right? And you got to step up to the plate.
Let's see if they explain any things even further. The article continues, even in male power fantasies where a protagonist is born with certain strengths, there is an immediate dilemma. How can I use this power for good and prevent it from corrupting me? This does not exist in feminine fiction. For them, power is a virtue in itself, and abusing power is always justified if it's a woman doing it. They resort to evil. It's usually because of the trespasses of men, and there's always an excuse.
I still have an issue with the literature thing, just because I'm like, what books are we citing? It feels like very, very broad statements. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's always true across the board.
Yeah,
in
so far
fiction.
they're not citing like specific movies or specific stories where these things occur.
I mean, it might be true, like if we, you know, took a bunch of books and
is that because these types of books aren't successful that we've never heard of them? These books and movies and TV shows.
I mean, I wouldn't be interested in that sort of book.
The most recent one is Madame Web. Before that, it was The Marvels.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
Captain Marvel 2 or whatever. Big flops. Oh.
Yeah.
Right. I liked that movie.
I'm sure
Captain
you did.
Marvel?
Like, finally a strong female lead.
Oh, man. Like, people have been crying about strong female leads forever. There's been plenty of them over the decades, man.
Star Wars?
They're not recognized for whatever reason.
The sequel trilogy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What makes her a Jedi?
Right.
I just feel like there really doesn't need to be this, like, weird competition between the sexes. I think that men and women can complement each other very nicely.
And should.
And I think this like weird feminist stuff that they're doing is just creating a lot of like weird turmoil.
Division.
And like, division and, you know, competition where it's like, no, men and women are not equal. They are different. And I'm not saying that women are lesser than men or that women are in some way inferior. It's just, it's yin and yang.
Right.
Not yang and yang.
Two different,
right.
Yeah.
Or yin and yin. Depending on which way
not,
you swing.
Not going there, but.
The article continues, in the past, stories of female power usually involved women using sexuality to influence men to do their bidding. Sexuality being treated like magic. But this dynamic has long perturbed feminists who enjoy the idea of sexual manipulation but don't like the idea of women relying on men in order to project their agency. So in modern times, feminists have shifted female power more into a male realm with women acting like men, using physical force like men, and asserting dominance in the way they imagine men assert dominance.
Yeah. And I see that a lot, too, in real life, it's like this thing where it's like, oh, if you want to be an empowered woman, you just have to essentially be a man. And it's like, I don't really want to be a man, though. To me, that's not empowering to outsource. Like, I don't know. That's just not empowering to me. You know, I like the traditional roles. And I actually think, and of course, you know, if women want to work and if women, you know, want to do like stereotypical male things, that's totally cool. Everyone deserves the freedom to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Set up their own yoga business.
I genuinely think that most women like those traditional roles, especially like heterosexual women that are in a, you know, like normal monogamous marriage with children and stuff. They wish they could stay home with their kids. They wish they could have a man to take care of them and do masculine things for them. I think a lot, and I think some women are afraid to admit that because of their crazy feminist, lefty, woke friends. You're like, you're not allowed to say that anymore. But I think the majority of women genuinely feel that way.
Interesting. I know that a previous call-in radio show that used to air called Tom Likas. He would talk about this sort of a thing, like pre-woke stuff, but like he was calling it out early on, before woke was even like a term.
Yeah.
But he would talk about how at times females believe that their vagina is their superpower. Right.
Well, they control access to sex.
Right. And so this was this hit home to me because at the time I was dating a girl who, let's just say, had a couple of very redeeming qualities.
Okay.
She even used almost those words, you know, something came on the TV and talked about, oh, this lady had to have like breast reduction surgery. And she goes, I could never do that. These are like my superpower. And like, I was like,
that's weird
that like, you know,
they bring it up as toxic, like on dating profiles. Right, like, I want a man who's like 6 feet tall, makes six figures.
Yeah, but God forbid you ask her how much she weighs or how tall she is or something like that. How much money she makes.
Not just that. It's okay to express the preference, but again, it's like that gender roles.
You want the
giant protective guy who's capable of supporting a family.
But to me, like, that's it's a double standard, right? So if you're like, oh, well, I'm only going to date a guy that makes six figures and is 5, whatever. Right. And then if a guy's like, well, I'm only going to date a girl that's under 130 pounds or whatever their preferences, then it's like, you pig. Even they have a preference. You have a preference.
Right.
Whatever. It's fine. Right. But just don't be weird about it.
If they don't connect, fire up, move on.
Even if that's your standard, right? 6 feet, six figures, right? And the only thing you bring to the table is the sex.
Yeah.
The likelihood in this economy, in this day and age,
it's not going to cut
it. The 6 foot guy who's making six fingers is not looking in your direction.
Right.
Because you don't add any value to the relationship. And the sex is easy enough to come by elsewhere for a 6 foot dude making six figures. You don't get them.
Yeah.
You get three kids from three different dads.
or 14 different dads.
Fake news.
The article continues. They've abandoned the idea of merely getting close to a man's power so they can exploit it. Instead, they now covet the institutional power within corporations and governments, believing they can cut out the middleman, no pun intended. I think the pun was intended.
Pun intended.
Pretty sure. This has given rise to the pervasive girl boss meme in mainstream media, a bizarre construct which relies on making men look incompetent in order to make women in leadership look intelligent.
I don't know if that's what the girl boss thing is.
But here's where things go awry. Women are not men and will never be capable of what men are capable of. That is to say, men can survive and thrive without women, but women will never be able to survive without men. It's a cold, hard reality that feminists simply do not grasp. All feminist power relies on the charity and tolerance of men.
The charity and tolerance of men.
I'm calling bananas on that. That last part, I don't think is... I think there's plenty of women that are... Well, okay, so if you're going to talk about society at large, because this is a thing I brought up the Whatever podcast last segment... So essentially what that podcast is it's like 6 hours of like a panel of 10 people where they'll have like three kind of conservative dudes. They had Candace Owens on, and then they'll have like seven
OnlyFans.
Candace
Owens, a conservative dude?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. I've seen clips
of this.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So they have like a bunch of OnlyFans girls who are like feminists, but they're like really vapid and just like don't.
It's like the only people Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro can win with a debate.
Yeah, so on that podcast, one of the conservative Christian guys made a comment that's like, okay, well, you guys want equality in the workplace, but like, I don't see you going after the really hard, dangerous, dirty jobs. So those positions are, and you can make a lot of money doing them, right?
Yep.
But those are all filled by men.
Yep.
Women, it's not an equality thing. They're not applying.
Yep.
Well,
they don't want to do those jobs.
So the whole premise of equality, at least from the feminist perspective, is a false premise. Equality is not something that can ever be achieved because I'm not equal to myself from one day to the next.
Yes.
Much less equal to you on any given day.
Yeah.
So, and also individuals, well, they're individuals for a reason. Richie Rich has talents that I don't. I have talents he doesn't. You have talents that I don't. He has talents that you don't, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we're not equal already just by a condition of existence, so it's impossible to achieve equality that the feminists are crying about because it's a false premise.
See if you can get to the survival paragraph before we wrap it up, because he brings up the example of, like, Bear Grylls.
The survival paragraph.
But also, that last paragraph, men also couldn't survive without women because we have babies and raise families. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's
why I want Captain to get to the example. It should have been like right where you were.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Okay.
So the next thing is woke activists like to claim with a certain tinge of glee that the world is progressing and say conservative men are angry because the patriarchy is losing power. I find this argument fascinating because it's self-contradictory. If the patriarchy exists and men are monolithic power structure, then frankly, there's nothing stopping us from crushing feminists under our boots like bugs and taking all that power back.
That wasn't it, but go on.
Women by virtue and biology have no power. If you'd like to find it, feel free.
Well, there's no time now.
Yeah, all right. At least not in the way that men do. Any power they think they have taken was actually given to them by men. Men allow women to have the freedoms they enjoy in the Western world. There is no power struggle. Wow. That's
pretty harsh.
Bold statement.
You couldn't have gotten the right to vote if men didn't vote for you guys to have the right to vote. You can protest all you want, but they went, ah, fine, give it to them. And now look where we are.
Well, so my problem with that is that voting is, well, it's not a right. It never has been.
I get it.
Anyway, we are out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me tonight. Thank you to all of our listeners and all of our callers. We appreciate you. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the Resources tab. Thanks and peace.
You want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.